war room trying to figure out how to get from A to B to C to D, he'd be a formidable opponent.
Hey, and we'd have something new in politics. No bus caravans, no train caravans. Lance could cycle from appearance to appearance.
He would probably love that.
Daniel, I appreciate the time.
Thank you.
That's Daniel Coyle, author of the book.
This poem's called Bullet Bob.
Oh, no.
Bob, you used to run so fast, but now you're in the ground at last.
At last?
Your favorite reindeer was certainly Donner. Don't forget I got you in the Ring of Honor. Sometimes at night, I wish the ground would open up and you would walk out and say, "What's up?" But I don't think that's going to happen because you're dead, pal. So dead.
Oh, my gosh. That's a beautiful poem, Norm.
Thank you.
Just beautiful.
This poem's called Frito.
Okay.
Frito, Frito, I love your meato.
Mm.
Your chest is broad and your brow is strong. If you were Chinese, I'd love your Wong. You are fat and hate the illegals. You're homophobic and won't pet male beagles.
Age Radio.
Good, good, Mark. Without you, I don't know where I'd be. Probably gay in a gutter somewhere.
Oh, my gosh, Norm.
So, Frito, Frito, I love you more than any old gal. A simple word of gratitude. Thanks, pal.
Oh, yeah. That's beautiful, Norm.
Nice.
Like that one?
Yeah, this is Norm with his poetry here.
This poem is called Johnny.
Mm.
It's about a friend. Johnny, it's been a long time since we talked. Our friendship never balked. With you as a friend, I hit a home run because we had so much fun. But now that I'm still alive and you've met our Lord, I can proudly say to you, scoreboard. Scoreboard.
The Ticket Stop Radio.
Thank you.
I'm distancing.
Come on, where are my kids? Go to my grid?
Sure, go ahead.
What's the matter, George?
Nothing.
I swear to my groups. Roses are red, violets are blue, both are the colors of your ass when I'm finished with you.
Your poems are out there, Norm.
Yeah, poems about birds and other stuff, penguin friends. I'll leave you with one I like to call girlfriend.
Okay.
Dear lover, your breath is so beautiful coming out of the knife wound that I put in your side.
I'm in. All right, we're very sorry about that. Norm with his poetry here on the Ticket.
Trapage Radio.
No, I mean,
Dale Hansel on Forge Radio 1310, the Ticket.
Internet only.
Drunk Radio.
Keep moving.
Down salespeople to help you. And third, we know.
Hello?
Yes. Gas Cap Louie, please.
Who's speaking?
It's the Dunham and Miller Show.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, Dunham and Miller, he is not feeling well.
Well, who's this?
This is Donna Louie.
Oh, hi. Donna Louie?
Yes.
This is his wife?
Yes.
Well, where are you?
Oh, we're down here at the hospital. Louie crashed something awful in those races, and I told him not to go out there and run, but he did anyway.
Wait, what do you mean races?
Well, he did the double yesterday.
Oh, really? Just like Tony Stewart?
Yeah, and he is all laid up. It was too much for him yesterday. He did the double, did the Indy 500, did the Coca-Cola 600, just like Tony Stewart. He said he wasn't going to be showing up.
You're kidding.
No, and he crashed something awful.
Oh, God. So we can't talk to him?
No, he's not. He's really heavily sedated right now.
Uh-huh. It's for dinner. Summer's here, and it's time to fire up the grill. Visit your neighborhood Albertsons and stock up on tender, juicy beef. Pick up Steakhouse Choice Angus beef at your local Albertsons store and invite the neighbors over for a mouth-watering meal they won't soon forget. There's lots of great beef recipes at beefitswhatsfordinner.com. And grab some A1 steak sauce and marinades. Yes, it's that important to make your summer sizzle with Albertsons. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Brought to you by America's Beef Producers with Chekhov Dollars and your neighborhood Albertsons.
Breaking sports news now.
Kenny Rogers doing more than hurting Fox Sports' Larry Rodriguez Wednesday afternoon. The ticker is brought to you by Corona and Car Toys. Rogers has hurt himself. The defective Major League Baseball will suspend the Rangers starter today. GM John Art says it also may affect the chances of the lefty coming back at 06 since contract talks have ceased.
Our vision of where the dollars are and his are too far apart, and compounded with what's happened here over the last several days, that we are going to table any contract talks till the end of the year.
Supposedly Rogers asking for $25 million over 2 years. Rangers do hit the road after earning a split against the Angels with an 18-5 whipping yesterday afternoon. Chris Young fighting through five blistering innings to win his eighth.
It was hot, but it was another pitcher pitching in the same situation. My job was to be better than he was, and the guys came out, gave me a lot of run support, made it really easy.
A's continue nipping at the Rangers' heels for the second-place spot of the AL West. Oakland winning their seventh straight 6-2 over the Mariners. Texas just 2.5 ahead of the A's. Lindsay Davenport completing yesterday's rain-delayed match, and she beats Emily Maresmo to advance to the finals at Wimbledon. And Davenport will play Venus Williams for the championship on Saturday. The ticker is a service of Shep's Dairy. You can help lose weight faster with Shep's Milk. That's right, drinking 24 ounces of low-fat Shep's Milk a day with a low-calorie diet helps you burn fat faster. Shep's Dairy, the dairy best available at your favorite grocery store. Our next ticker is at 10:10 with Jimmy Christopher. Breaking sports news first guaranteed. I'm Rich Phillips. Somebody get to remember the time you've been listening. So Don Hitz is in for Dunham and Miller mornings 5:30 to 10 on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket.
Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. Sorry, we're out of our mind right now. So please leave a message. Thank you.
Jeremy Moran just informed me that this week we passed the five-year anniversary of us working together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can now get your T-shirt and your medal.
I like free T-shirts, man.
Mm-hmm. The first three sessions with the council will be paid for by the corporate medical plan.
All right.
Thanks this morning to all the fine folks at Volvo of Dallas. It's always wonderful to come out here. It's a big, comfortable, clean, well-lit place, and the plants are wonderful, and the cars are spectacular, and the discounts are fabulous. Up to 12,000 off a new Volvo S80, 9,000 off an S60, up to $5,000 off an S40. As always, free service for 3 years or 36,000 miles with any 2005 Volvo. You also get free gasoline with any new or used vehicle, free gasoline through January of next year. That's Volvo of Dallas, I-35 in Frankfort and Carrollton, where your family matters. Thanks to the crew this morning. First of all, thanks to Fernando. It was nice working with you all week in relief of the musers, Fernando.
Thank you, Norm.
Really good week, Mike. Thank you very much. Thanks to Rich in the ticker room and the Big Jair. Happy anniversary. Thanks out here to T-Bar and Rochelle. And thanks to Smiling Pete. It's time for Smiling Pete to have lunch. Early this morning, we witnessed Smiling Pete, who is 133? What do you think, Smiling Pete?
150.
150, you're up to 150. Smiling Pete had three McGriddles, one of those potato things.
Hash browns.
Three?
Yeah, hash browns. And when the sausage rolls arrived, I saw the first flight was three of them. Any more?
No, I stopped there.
Stopped right there. All right.
You know why?
Three McGriddles, three sausage rolls, and a hash brown.
You know why he can eat so much?
Good morning, Pete.
Yeah, maybe Norm listen to us for a minute.
Good morning, Pete. to Kevin Scott and the Rich Phillips, the Throwdown, who will take you after 1 o'clock.
Norm, you know why Pete weighs so little?
He gives everything there is to eat in the house to his pet snake.
No, because he works out a lot. He's a ninjaneer. Did you know that about him?
No.
Yeah, Pete.
He's a ninjaneer?
That's right. He's a black belt.
Well, he's going to have to, he has to be a black belt because if that snake he has ever gets loose.
I don't know if his ninja skills or nunchuck skills are going to do him much good if the snake wraps around him.
Well, things wonderful.
Bow hunting skills, too. Hey, can we get confirmation from Pete? Is he taking part in the tickets fight night? Did he ever find an opponent?
I didn't actually come up with my own opponent. I talked to Seth actually just today.
You're gonna hit Seth?
No.
Oh.
Seth's the coordinator of the
fight night. Oh,
jeez,
I was
going to
say.
Poor Seth.
Poor Seth.
I've never hit Seth. Seth's a great man.
Seth, the lurker would last about 25 seconds with you. So did you get an opponent?
I don't know. He says he's going to try and work me in.
All right.
So.
Are you going to fight another ninja?
I don't know. If there's one out there, sure.
By the way, isn't Pete the one who ate 3 Chipotle burritos in one sitting?
3 Chipotles in one remote.
Yep.
Is there any way you could do that, Kevin?
Oh, my
right here.
Gosh.
This was the site.
Yeah, it was here.
This was the site, Volvo of Dallas, when Pete... Now, realize, that's when I was doing a 2-hour show. Now, if I were doing 4.5 hours like this morning, there's a chance to knock that union hungry back down 3 Chipotle. Hey, it's a 2-hour show when he has the 3 Chipotle.
And there's nothing wrong with a Chipotle burrito. It's one of my favorite things in the world to eat. But
3 of them in one sitting? There was.
They're the size of a pool.
Would you have had more?
What
is there more?
Do
you want to bring out a muffler for you?
What do you mean that's all there was?
Well, you had to be respectful of all the people showing up to get their free Chipotles, and you had to slow down.
That's amazing. Hey, that McGriddle, is that the one we've been reading on the tickers? Does that have maple syrup baked right inside? Is it too sweet to pass up?
It is.
Is that
it
the
is.
One?
Yes.
Yeah. Pete likes the sausage McGriddles?
And the bacon.
Pizza.
That's an amazing metabolism right there.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'd like to borrow a little bit of that metabolism.
I hate you.
How often does your python eat?
Once a month, roughly.
Big rat?
Usually 2 chickens and a handful of rats.
2 chickens?
Not full grown, like adolescent chickens.
Feed them live?
Oh, yeah.
What about boneless, skinless chicken breasts?
They prefer living creatures.
Are you serious?
How do you know what they prefer?
The boneless chicken.
If it's not warm, they won't eat it. You can take a piece of chicken and heat it up, and they might go for it, but usually they only want live food.
So you toss a live chicken into the aquarium or whatever you keep this snake in?
No. I either pull them out and put them in the kitchen or on the back patio and let the chicken loose there with them.
You're kidding me.
So you want him to have the thrill of the kill as much as actually getting to eat?
Well, if you feed them inside the cage, then they get used to every time the cage door opens, food being present, so you can't reach in and just try and, like, you know, pick them up or
touch
it or something.
What a shame.
Because then they'll strike you thinking you've got food.
How violent is this activity?
Pete, of course, you could just karate chop them when they try to strike you.
That's right.
They'll learn very quickly that you're the ninja and they're the snake.
I mean, when you put this out in the backyard, do you have your neighbors complaining?
Norm, somebody just broke into your Volvo.
No one's ever complained.
Is it noisy and loud and violent?
It depends. If he gets the chicken by the leg, the chicken will start squawking and screaming.
But usually like Jimmy Christopher.
I'm the chicken.
Bok, bok.
But usually they get him by the head, so that they kind of muffle.
Oh.
Are the rats live? The rats are live?
Yeah. Guinea pigs, hamsters, whatever.
Where do you go? Rats are us?
No, there's feed stores.
Do you sit and watch this in spectator sport or something?
Sometimes.
Oh, my God.
I bet you watch it every time, don't you?
There's no way.
Not every time.
I've seen
enough of them to the... Sometimes they're boring.
Fuck.
Sometimes when you watch that, your pants kind of, you know, go crazy a little bit. You
need them down a little?
I don't understand.
I think you do. And I think I'm onto something there, Pete.
This is not unlike boxing. Where they've got this big python, and they throw a poor chicken in the ring with it.
That's what's going to happen to the hitman, Norm.
What?
That's what's going to happen to the hitman.
Can I interject something here?
Yeah, go ahead, Rego.
I don't want to poo-poo.
Okay.
Please don't.
Interjection.
Hey, have you ever seen this unbelievable snake? Have you guys ever seen it?
Pete snake?
No. I thought you were holding one in your hands and showing somebody.
I thought
Norm.
Placed one in your arm.
Appreciate the layout there, but let's continue with the discussion.
No, we want to make that clean.
Have you, how do I say this?
I don't know.
How do you say this? I mean, there's,
Snake.
I don't know if you're pointing at somebody or something or what. No, I've never seen Pete Snake. I don't believe he's, have you ever took it on location, Pete?
Yeah. I brought it to one of Norm's events. Next time you guys go on remote, I'd be happy to bring it out.
It's
I don't know if it'll be alive by then. What's their lifespan? 10 years?
30.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have a remote by then. Maybe.
Beautiful. It's an albino Burmese python, right?
That one is, yes.
Wow, you should see this thing. It is so gorgeous. And Pete just put it on the floor of Star Power. And it just looked around, looked at me and thought, probably too big.
Man, I saw somebody sent me an email of a snake eating, I believe it was either a kangaroo or a deer.
Wow.
It wasn't full grown. It wasn't like some mule deer you see out in the Llano Estacado, but it was pretty big. I mean, it had to fold its legs up to get it in its mouth. It was crazy looking. You ever thought about feeding a very, very large animal to your snake?
If they can only eat something that's barely, if it's much wider around than the actual snake is, then they can't eat it.
Because they kind of swallow things whole, don't they?
Yeah.
So is there like a big bulge in the middle of the snake when he eats this chicken?
Yeah. Three bulges. So
freaky.
Three bulges?
Yeah, two or three bulges. Sometimes he'll eat three chickens.
So let's try to get the size of this down. Can we say the cutoff is like Cocker Spaniel?
Probably what? Dachshund.
Dachshund?
Yeah.
Okay. Dachshund is about the right size.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Just wanted to clarify that.
I've been offered Chihuahuas, seriously.
Somebody offered you a Chihuahua?
Well, it wasn't his, it was his neighbor's. I politely declined.
What? One of your neighbors offered you a Chihuahua?
No, a friend of mine offered his neighbor's Chihuahua to me.
Oh! In other words, I'll catch the Chihuahua and put him in your kitchen with the snake.
Yes.
He didn't like the Chihuahua, did he?
I didn't. I don't know if I could. I wouldn't be comfortable feeding it a dog.
Why?
I don't know. I just have respect for dogs. I don't have respect for rats and chickens.
Okay.
Respect
the chicken.
I never thought we'd discuss Smiling Pete's respect calendar here, but there are things that come up on the chicken. What's on the throwdown today, guys?
All kinds of good stuff, Norm. At 10:30, we will talk auto racing with Alan Bestwick from NBC. They've got their first broadcast coming up tomorrow night. So we'll talk to him about that race, about the rest of the season, Chase the Championship, all that good stuff. And then later on, I forget exactly what time. Got the story of this dude from Dallas. He's
11:50.
I think he's 22 years old right now. He's going to serve 6 years in an English jail. We're going to talk about what he did when he was in Dallas that led him overseas and subsequently to his jail term. It's a fascinating story. This guy is an amazing thug. Mike's heard it, and he was just blown away by it.
Wow.
Last quick thought for you guys. What do you think the Seattle media scene is going to be like when the Rangers come out on the field tonight?
Probably pretty good for a team that's in last place.
Yeah, I'm thinking there may be just a couple of those cameras waiting by the Ranger dugout.
Besides all the Asian media, it's going to be hard to get around then.
Mm. Yeah, but there will be a lot with Chan Ho pitching tonight.
Yeah?
Oh.
Oh.
I forgot about that.
The normal contingent that follows Ichiro around. Seriously, when there's an Asian that comes to the ballpark, it's amazing. It's really amazing the contingent that will come out to follow those guys.
You guys have a wonderful throwdown.
Can I interject something here?
Go ahead, Grego.
Trying not to create chaos.
Okay.
A little too late for that. Have a good weekend, Norm.
See ya.
See ya.
KTCK Dallas-Fort Worth, KTTK Sager. Now that Mike Tyson has called it quits.
How nice is it?
But he's all right. He's going to live, and he's conscious. But, you know, we're still waiting on x-rays and stuff like that, a lot of internal stuff.
Oh, no. Well, what happened?
Well, he crashed at Indy on lap 3.
Oh, gosh. Well, at least he made it 3 this time.
Yeah, he apparently had some bad tires or something. We've been building a garage out back of our house.
Uh-huh.
And he had driven that Indy car around that driveway, and I told him, I said, there's 10 penny nails all over the place. So he took on a bunch of nails and everything and didn't check the tires before he started the race, and lo and behold, he blows out, you know, third lap. So
He suffered a couple broken bones during that crash. I'll let him tell y'all about it tomorrow or something like that, or whenever he feels good enough to talk. But then he came over and he said, Donna, I got to get ready to go to Coca-Cola Center. I said, no.
Right.
You just got hurt in this one.
Yeah.
He said, no, I'm going on to Charlotte. I'm going to compete in the Coca-Cola 600. So
he's tough.
Yeah, he was supposed to take the same helicopter to Charlotte that Tony Stewart did. Well, problem is, that darn pilot, he took off too quick. Louie wasn't ready to get on the helicopter. The helicopter starts taking off, so gas cap jumps up and grabs those things that look like skis.
Those things on the bottom of the helicopter?
Right. And the chopper takes off, and he rode that thing about half a mile. He lost his grip.
Why would he jump up and grab on?
Well, he thought he would climb up.
He didn't want to miss the race.
Radio.
He didn't want to miss the race.
He had two broken arms.
Oh, gosh.
So he rode it about half a mile, and then he lost his grip, and that's when things really fell apart for him. God bless his heart.
But he's okay, right?
Yeah, he landed in a chicken coop in a cornfield. And then he had no way of getting to Charlotte, so he had to borrow that darn farmer's tractor to drive to Charlotte.
Oh, that's stupid.
When he got there with 7 laps to go. I mean, he was so out of it by that point. Anyway, he'll tell you the rest of it. Hey, Louie, hold on a second. Gas cap. It's Johnny Miller. Do you want to talk to me a mail? Well, his voice is all screwed up.
Yeah, gas cap Leon.
Yeah. Well, he's got a tube in his throat.
Oh, okay.
The Ticket, Drop Page Radio.
Joining us now on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket, is a deep throat informant. He will remain anonymous, and we have digitally altered his voice to protect his anonymity. Now, we must let you know before we start visiting with this gentleman that we're not sure about his credibility. In fact, he may be a very uncredible source. We believe that he has some ties to Nate Newton. He is supposedly on the inside with Nate Newton, a former friend, former coworker, former colleague. But we will just preface this that we distance with anything he might tell us because we're not sure about his background. Deep Throat Informant, good morning.
Good morning.
Can you tell us, first of all, about your relationship with Nate Newton?
With me here. Now, what, really, what am I giving up?
Can you tell us, first of all, about your relationship with Nate Newton?
I work with Nate on this business venture.
Okay, all right.
In my opinion, Nate was very fat and very pot strong.
Pot strong?
Fat and pot strong.
Okay, so what do you know about what happened, this arrest on Sunday? You know anything about it?
Yes.
What do you know?
In my opinion, I think he wanted to sell the joint pot.
Joint pot. That's what it looks like.
I did not enjoy working for the man. He forced me to work in his pot factory every day.
The Ticket, Drop Page Radio.
the discounts on every new Toyota by 40%. Now through Saturday, Corollas are discounted $4,000. Take $4,000 off Corollas. Camrys are discounted $5,500. That's $5,500 off new Camrys. Only at Fowler Toyota. It's the largest Toyota sale in the state, but it all ends Saturday. The place is Fowler Toyota, located 4 miles east of downtown on I-30 and Buckner. Again, 4 miles east of downtown Dallas on I-30 and Buckner. For a limited time, Fowler Toyota will increase discounts on new Toyotas by 40%.
Discounts based on RPF financing. All rebates and incentives apply. WAC.
Sports news first, guaranteed.
Rangers waiting to hear from Major League Baseball on the suspension of angry man Kenny Rogers. Ticker brought to you by Lone Star Park and Kia Motors. Tom Hicks was quivering when he and John Hart met the press Thursday to discuss the forthcoming suspension.
Charles, this was an action that took place on the field with the media, that the jurisdiction for this incident will be under the commissioner. He will make a decision what to do about Kenny's incident.
Between the lines, the Rangers are in the Pacific Northwest to start a three-game set with the Mariners tonight. John Ho and former Ranger Aaron Seeley, the starters. Todd Fisher, the early second-round leader at the Western Open. He's 8-under through 8 holes. Jim Furyk, Ben Curtis, the first-round leaders go off later. Tiger, even through 8 at 2-under today. Vijay Singh is 2-over through 9 of the second round. Lindsay Davenport won today's rain-delayed semifinal. She's going to meet Venus Williams in the women's final. That's the ticket ticker. A service of AutoZone. Don't hit the road this summer without a trip to AutoZone. AutoZone has everything you need to help you travel safely and save some money on gas. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Next ticket ticker at 10:30. Breaking sports news first, guaranteed. Jimmy Christopher reminding you to remember the time he's been listening to a throwdown for Norm. Midday, 10 to 1 here at Sports Radio, 1310 The Ticket.
Pitching a doubleheader on Monday. How about that, huh?
How about that?
An Independence Day doubleheader. We're making a sandwich out of Dale Hansen.
What? What?
I'm really not a new agent.
We're going to be before and after Dale.
A meaty-ass sandwich right there, man.
That was Kevin Scott who said that. And we are with you until 1 o'clock again today. And we might talk some about Kenny Rogers today. Are we going to have a Kenny-free day today?
No. Okay. No. No ban on Kenny Rogers today. We won't be as Kenny-intensive, but certainly no ban on Kenny Rogers today.
Waiting to see if there's a ban on Kenny Rogers pitching, because the suspension should come down today for Major League Baseball. But you know what? I bet you he pitches Sunday.
Wouldn't surprise me in the least.
He'll appeal it.
Yeah, he's going to appeal it, of course.
Because you appeal, more than anything, you always get your suspension reduced when you appeal. Like Brendan Donnelly got his reduced yesterday.
Although, maybe it's in his best interest to accept the suspension right now because of the injury to the hand.
True.
If you believe that he indeed was hurt and that's why he didn't pitch, and I happen to believe that.
You're not buying the getting to pitch against Seattle and Boston scenario, which now would not work out anyway because he's been moved to Sunday.
Well, I don't want
to list.
Actually, I just don't want to get punched in case I come face to face with him. I do happen to believe that he just hurt. His balance is thrown off. His mojo wasn't there, whatever it is. Take the suspension, let the hand heal up, kill two birds with one stone.
But that's... That'll depend on how long that suspension is, though, if he's just going to accept that and move on.
True.
Because
true.
The thing about
they'll probably appeal it, try to get it lowered, and then maybe we'll serve it. I don't know. There's a process there that we're not privy to.
And the thing about it is, the suspension will probably sound, I think, is going to sound long to some people, but that's because he's a starting pitcher. And in order to have much punishment on a starting pitcher, I mean, it does no good to suspend him for 5 games. He barely would miss a start. They just bump him back one day in the rotation if you only give him 5 games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a 15-game suspension sounds like it's pretty hefty, but for a starting pitcher, that's 3 outings is all.
I wonder if they take that into consideration, though.
I think if the commissioner is involved in this one, that's going to get taken into consideration. I think this is going to be more severe than some people are expecting it to be.
I didn't think it was going to be severe at all yesterday. I just didn't think that baseball was going to treat it as seriously as they apparently have, because Bud Selig has taken over and not handed it over to... Sandy Alderson's with the Padres now, isn't he?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't know who... That's not Rob Manfred. Is it Rob Manfred?
It might be.
I don't know. I know he's on Capitol Hill. I don't know if he's handling suspensions and stuff like that, but the fact that Bud Selig, the commissioner, is handling this one, yeah, I think...
It changed your mind yesterday afternoon?
Yeah, I just didn't think, because what John Hart said, he didn't think there'd be a suspension.
Well, I think
that was just wishful thinking on his part, or he was trying to maybe taint the jury a little bit there. I don't know.
Could be a little bit of both, a little posturing, but, I mean, I thought for sure there'd have to be a fairly hefty suspension, primarily because this was national news, not just national sports news. This was national news that it made on Wednesday afternoon and all throughout the day yesterday. That's why I thought for sure there had to be somewhat of a stiff penalty that we're going to find out about probably later on today, just because baseball wants to get that word out there that they have dealt severely with one of their players who did something that was crossing the line.
You know what I think? Another thing that's going to maybe play into Bud Selig's decision, besides the fact that it was on the field and he didn't punch anybody, that he wrestled the camera away, I think the fact that Kenny Rogers thus far has really shown no contrition whatsoever for his actions on Wednesday. The fact that he doesn't seem sorry in the least about what occurred, according to Tom Hicks, and again, this may be, he might, if he's mad at the front office, he might have been mad at Tom Hicks at the time. So when Tom Hicks says he didn't seem sorry for it, and he was even defiant about what happened, maybe he was defiant to Tom Hicks. Maybe by himself, with his family, he is sorry for what he did, but we have no way of knowing because the guy hasn't, as we said yesterday, put the shirt and tie on, had the cap off, had his hair combed over, real funny like baseball players do when you see them with their caps off sometimes. Sat there, maybe his wife, I don't know. Maybe the front office, I don't know. Maybe his agent, whoever he wants to have up there. But he hasn't taken to the podium yet or sat down in front of everybody to shed some light on just exactly why he did what he did. Or if not that, then just to apologize to Larry Rodriguez for what he did to him and the camera, and apologize to anyone else who he cussed at, maybe the other cameraman that owned the camera that he kicked or knocked over. It amazes me that he hasn't done that yet. And I don't know if the Rangers have tried to force him to do that.
John Hart did say yesterday they asked him to. They suggested to him that it would be a good idea that he speak to the media now.
How strong was that suggestion?
I don't know.
I think the Rangers, if you believe the conspiracy theory that the Rangers have leaked some information about him,
mm-hmm.
First of all, the demands of the contract in the offseason and the possible retirement if he didn't get it, then the contract demands of 2 years, $25 million, and then also the latest, really what... You can believe that Ryan Dries, his release, set this whole thing in motion, set Kenny off, but I think really what put him over the edge was the questioning of his integrity, the questioning of his toughness.
Mm-hmm.
And if you believe that the Rangers front office might have put that information out there, and I think that there is some credence to that, then yeah, he might be mad at the front office, and that might be playing a part in all this. I think that they might be asking him and not forcing him because they want to let him, they want to give him just enough rope to hang himself.
Well,
if there's a smear campaign in place, then they're happy about what's going on.
If nothing else, Major League Baseball should make it so his suspension runs through the All-Star game because, you know, he's in line to where he could pitch Sunday and he could pitch Friday and then he'd be ready for the All-Star game. And if he's only suspended, you know, for a week, he obviously would be available for the All-Star game, but they shouldn't let him be part of the All-Star game. I mean, that's, to me, that just seems pretty cut and dry right there.
Well, because he's definitely, part of punishment.
He's definitely an All-Star caliber pitcher this year with what he's done. But, yeah, he should not be allowed to be part of the All-Star game, and that's where they need to, at the very least, start with a suspension, I think. Jim on a cell phone, you're on Sports Radio 1310, to take it for the throwdown.
Hi, guys. Listen, for taking my call, yesterday my son James told me about this issue, the Kenny Rogers, and so I have a question. I was with the governor last week.
Well, hold on. You haven't seen any of this?
No, I just saw a little bit of SportsCenter at 11:30 last night, and then they wouldn't show it at midnight, so I guess the news cycle's over. But what the TV showed was a TV cameraman was in front of Kenny Rogers, and Kenny Rogers, like, pushed the camera up, and then he went back and tried to push it off his shoulder. And so, okay, you've seen the picture.
Sure.
But here's the thing that gets me is that when I was at the governor last week, the Fox guy, all the cameras are set in a certain section where the governor's going to make his speech. Well, the Fox guy decides to get up and go right up as the governor's walking in to make his speech, and that's kind of where he's not supposed to be. He's supposed to be with the rest of the media. So just hold that thought for a second. When Kenny Rogers came out of the dugout, my son said he said no cameras. So he's at his job. This is where he makes his living, and we both know he's an entertainer, but he's tough.
Well, but it's Larry's job, the photographer from Channel 4, to film pregame warm-ups, and the story was...
He lost me there somewhere.
He's trying to say that he was out of place in doing what he did, but Kenny Rogers, he may have said no cameras, but I'm sorry, it's not like they were paparazziing him. They were just doing their job, they were out there on the field, and here's the thing is, why would Kenny Rogers say no cameras? What was he doing? What was he going to be doing out there on the field Wednesday afternoon that was going to be so awful for them to film? What was so bad that he was going to do? Was he going to go out there and drop his pants while he was stretching in the outfield? What was he worried about being filmed about him on Wednesday afternoon? Why would he do that?
Yeah, I think it's just part of, you know, Kenny Rogers just on his anti-media rant right now. What people don't understand is that everybody who was pushed and shoved out there that Kenny Rogers went after are credentialed by the Rangers and Major League Baseball to be on the field mm-hmm. at that time to do exactly what they were doing.
And many
Kenny
of those
Rogers
guys
doesn't have any right to tell them they can't shoot video of him.
And many of those guys were every day doing that because at 6:30, at 6:25,
right.
Mike Ducey and Dale Hansen and all those guys are doing live shots from out at the ballpark. And part of the live shot is showing, you know, some BP and a little bit of the stretching just for some what they call B-roll video.
Exactly.
That's just the everyday operation out there.
That's right.
Hey, Kenny's just a little high on himself, man.
Obviously he must know that he's the story and he didn't want himself being filmed because I guess he knows that they're going to show that video while they're doing a Kenny Rogers story. I got news for you, pal. They'll do a Kenny Rogers story without showing video, and when you do what you did, everybody in the world shows Kenny Rogers' video.
Even celebrities that have the true paparazzi in their face all the time, when they come out of restaurants, when they come out of department stores, and they're all over the place, just flashing, they can barely make their way to their car, they don't get as upset as Kenny Rogers did about four cameras that weren't even up in his grill. Those, I can understand. Some of those guys are ridiculous with what they do. Climbing in celebrities' backyards, climbing up trees.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these people can't even get any privacy whatsoever, even on vacation. And Kenny Rogers is getting mad about a camera being where it's supposed to be.
Where it is every day when he comes out stretching drills.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Let's go to Kelly and Irving. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, Fredown. What's going on?
Not a whole lot.
What do y'all think about this possibility? You know, everybody's making a big deal out of Kenny not coming out and saying anything or apologizing or doing whatever. It probably seems like he would be under the advice of at least one or two attorneys not to. I mean, it just, you know, with criminal action that's pending, the guy said he filed charges against him.
And, you know, looking at a civil suit, it doesn't seem like he's going to run right out and admit to a whole lot of anything.
Well, you're probably right in a sense, but Jason Giambi had been called in front of a grand jury. He was facing legal action, too, but he still went to the podium. He stepped up to the mic. He didn't say a whole heck of a lot, but he did step up to the mic, and he faced the media. You don't have to admit to a whole lot. Even if you can't say a whole lot, just the sense that you are sorry for what happened. We all saw what happened. There's no getting around it. It's not as if it happened in the back room and it's he said, she said, and you don't want to let too much out to protect your side of this civil suit. I mean, we all saw what happened. If it goes to court, and there's no way that it goes to court, because Kenny Rogers and the Rangers will prevent that somehow, some way, they're going to show the video in court so we know what happened, so you might as well apologize for what happened. And we talked to Larry.
You can't make a not guilty plea over that.
Yeah, I mean, we talked to Larry yesterday, and he said that he just wanted to see baseball do the right thing. I would suspect that he also wants to see Kenny Rogers do the right thing, and doing the right thing is being a man, stepping up. If you can apologize, or maybe not apologize, accept responsibility for punching a water cooler, I think you accept responsibility for doing what everybody saw and what everybody knows is wrong.
Now, also, you know, another thing about this, I thought Babe Laufenberg had a real good point with us yesterday. He picked a bad time to do this. It's not only slow in the sports news world, it's slow in the news world. And so it has just been all over everything this week. Bad timing for him.
You think they were watching this in Seoul and Prague?
Maybe. Possibly. As they're gearing up for a Chan Ho Park start in Seoul, maybe they were watching this.
It might have been.
Because they got that coming tonight. Chan Ho starts in Seattle where he's like 19-0 or something. What's his record there? Good?
82-3.
Okay. He's been good there.
Mm-hmm.
He's turning it around after that start he had Sunday in Houston, so get ready for that. 10:26 on Sports Radio 1310. The Ticket, the Throwdown. Rich Phillips and Kevin Scott. We're in for Norm today with you till 1 o'clock. And we are the keepers of auto racing on the Throwdown and Ticket Sports Saturday. I know some of you aren't, but you'll enjoy hearing us talk to Alan Bestwick. He's part of NBC's telecast crew for tomorrow night's Pepsi 400. We'll have him on with us next on the Throwdown.
All right.
Hey, golf fans, Rick Arnett here. Tomorrow morning on the Tee Box from 8 to 10, we investigate the golf infomercial. Do they live up to the hype, or are you just burning bucks? So pull out your credit card and listen to Craig and me on the Tee Box tomorrow morning from 8 to 10 as we broadcast from courtesy Nissan and Kent.
Thank you for listening. This station is in a commercial break and will be returning to its regular programming shortly.
That's not good. Well, he was nice to you. Big old jolly Nate, he was nice to you, wasn't he?
He was nice when I would do my job correctly.
Uh-huh.
But other times he was a horrible monster.
Oh, no.
My job was not very complicated. I would take the pot and put it in sports boxes.
What's a sports box?
I would do this for what Nate called SPTs.
SPTs?
SPTs.
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 What is that?
Football pot people.
Oh, FPPs. Football pot people.
One time.
Oh, hang in there. Hang in there.
You turned me down, and you took a wad of pot tobacco, and you shoved it in my head hole that is mouth. You then forced me to chew it as a cud for 3 days, and
12 minutes.
That's awful.
That's crazy, too.
I was in the van when we were all arrested.
You were actually in the van?
I'm sorry?
You were in the van?
Yes. Nate had stuffed me into a pot box.
The Ticket Drop Page Radio.
Why was he mad at you?
I think it's because I misspelled sport on the side of the box.
How did you spell it?
With four P's.
I was just going to say we're visiting with a deep throat informant here, a supposed friend of Nate Newton.
Yeah. One time, Nate, he got very angry mad.
Oh, no.
And he made a catapult out of pot stems and launched me into a batch of whipped cream made of skunkweed.
So, what terrible punishment. Yeah.
Are you okay?
Time to fire up the grill. Visit your neighbor.
Are you okay?
After he would smoke out and get pot happy, he would sit on me and put his
Well, what do you think is going to come of all this? Are you going to do some serious jail time, or what's going to happen?
No, I was released for turning state's witness.
Oh, wow. So that's why we have to disguise your voice, huh?
I'm disguised.
Oh, okay.
But if you want my prediction on what will happen,
yeah,
I think Nate will be cleared of all charges.
Why?
Because he is an athlete, and he has a lot of money. And I think that after he is cleared...
Drop Page Radio.
Do you think you can handle payments as long as they're close to 50% less than if you bought the car? Call D&M. And Ralphie, if you want to be fed goat's eyes dipped in honey while being groomed by a troop of lemurs, simply call D&M. Whoops, disregard that one. Just glancing at the old to-do list. Look, goat's eyes aside, if you're in the market for a vehicle, don't buy, lease from D&M. Call 35-LEASE, that's 35-L-E-A-S-E, from any local area code, or go online to dmautoleasing.com.
Ticket Sports News now.
In sports, a news whirl abuzz over the anticipation of a suspension for our cameraman attacker Kenny Rogers of the Rangers. Ticker brought to you by Miller Lite and Grand Prairie Ford. John Hart and the Rangers will hear from big league commish Bud Selig.
He made it very clear, and I think it does show that his sincerity in making a decision on this versus, say, coming through Major League Baseball's discipline office.
Rangers, Mariners in Seattle tonight. John Ho and Aaron Seeley toss. Tiger 3-under today, 1-under total after 9 holes of round 2 at the Western Open. Todd Fisher, the second round leader so far, at 8-under through 10 holes. Mavericks will partake in Pro Summer Leagues in Vegas from July 6th through the 15th and in Salt Lake City from the 16th through the 22nd of July, featuring Marquise Daniels, Devin Harris, and DJ and Pavel. Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket News. Justice Sandra Day O'Connor resigning from the U.S. Supreme Court. It's been 11 years since the Supreme Court had an opening on the bench. That's a ticket ticker. May service of Napa Auto Parts make sure your car is ready for safe summer driving with Napa True Stop brake pads starting as low as $10.49. You'll get safe, reliable braking at a competitive price. Napa, get the good stuff. Next ticket ticker on the way at 10:50. Breaking sports news first, guaranteed. Jimmy Christopher reminding you to remember the time you spent listening to the Throwdown in for Norm middays, 10-1 on Sports Radio 1310. The Ticket.
Breaking sports news first, guaranteed with the Ticket Ticker at 10, 30, and 50 past every hour on Sports Radio 1310. The Ticket.
10:34 on Sports Radio 1310. The Ticket. Good morning. It is the Throwdown in for Norm.
and we're here till 1 o'clock. The Bennett Skin will be taking over. I'd like to remind you at this time, though, that Bad Radio continues their World Cinemark Tour. They are going to be out Wednesday. Those boys will be back in Tuesday afternoon and Wednesday. They are hitting the road once again to promote Cinemark, and they're going to be in Mansfield, North Highway 287 at 67 Mansfield. Take a T-shirt, of course, tons of Cinemark prizes, and you can come out and pick up a pass to see the tickets-free screening of Wedding Crashers, starring Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn. Screening will be at 7:30. On Monday, July 11th, that is Cinemark in Mansfield, Bad Radio, noon to 3. We were supposed to have Alan Bestwick. We are trying to track him down, and when we do track him down, we will talk some NASCAR with him. He's part of the NBC broadcast crew. And while we're waiting for him, why don't we talk Dallas Mavericks basketball as the season, the NBA free agent season, started today.
This is going to be a real beating, this NBA free agent season, because nobody's signing until July 22nd now, are they? Isn't that when the new collective bargaining agreement is going to be ratified or whatever? Normally it's the 16th. You can start negotiating on the 1st and sign on the 16th. So we get an extra week of speculation and procrastination going on this time around. But at least we do know one thing. We don't have to sit around waiting to find out if the Mavs are going to get screwed here and lose one of their best players, because unlike last year, they're not sellers, if you will, in the market because they don't have a Steve Nash coming free. They're more likely to be buyers. Although I guess they could lose Alan Henderson, who I read Detroit's interested in him, and Darrell Armstrong. No great losses there.
You don't like the DA?
Yeah. I mean, they keep saying they're in the market for a third point guard. Sounds to me like they're not real high on Darrell Armstrong. And he's okay. I mean, he's 58 years old or something. He's getting a little old out there.
I thought about this.
He was okay.
As far as Darrell Armstrong goes, he came in game six, did he not, against the Houston Rockets? Did he come in and provide so much in game six, or was that game seven against the Rockets?
Now, game seven was a runaway, so I'm guessing it was in game six.
But he was responsible for one of those games, for the victory in one of those games. No, it would have to have been, the Mavericks didn't tie it up. The Houston Rockets tied it up to take it to seven. So the Mavericks, it would have to have been in game seven when he came in and provided so much, provided a lift for the Mavericks.
I take your word for it. I had a Desperados game that night, so.
He was a large part of that victory. So, the question is, and this question usually comes up in regard to trading a first-round pick or trading a marquee player, would you trade a particular player if you could win a championship? So if they gave up their second-round pick to get Darrell Armstrong, was it worth that second-round pick to go to the second round of the playoffs?
Probably so, yes. Second-round picks, well, I mean, they're not worth that much in the NBA, are they?
No. It's not that huge of a question. I thought I'd just throw that out.
No, I think that's pretty easy to say. Yeah, it was worth it. No, their first-round pick for a guy who could play in Fort Worth this year after sitting a year on the bench, that's a question. That's a different story.
Here's another question for you. If the NBA were going to do like the NHL is supposed to do, and I've seen conflicting reports on whether or not the NHL is going to have a buyout of all contracts, that you one-time only,
that you can do more than
cash
one.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to buy off all these huge contracts, you can do that. If the NBA did that, we talked about Michael, the Mavericks have apparently discussed Michael Finley's release. Would you buy out Eric Dampier?
I wouldn't. And I know a lot of people are saying, yeah, too bad you can't do that. I wouldn't. I know you're paying him a lot of money. I know he's very frustrating at times, but I think, and it's unfortunate that it takes this, but I think with the proper motivation and the proper kick in the behind, he's a pretty good player. He could be a pretty good player for you.
You're going to wear your foot out.
Okay. What's your answer? What's your answer in place of him?
Therein lies the problem.
That's why, and I know you're paying him gobs of money. But what center who has double-double ability to be an average, to be his average is double-doubles, what center out there is not going to make $10 million that can do that for you every night? He has the ability. You can't argue that he has the ability, because we saw that before he got hurt in, what was it, February, I guess, he had that nice stretch of about 20 games where he was certainly one of their better players, and he was going with double-doubles almost every night. He was motivated for whatever reason at that point, and you can't deny when you watched him play that he was a difference maker for them. And he had a few playoff games where he was awfully good. When he got called out by Dirk in the Phoenix series, he was awfully good the next night, wasn't he? He was a difference. He was a factor for them.
He was a non-factor more often than not.
In the playoffs, he was, for sure. And I guess, yeah, for that matter, in the regular season, he was a non-factor at times. But I think if you can get him the good swift kick in the behind that it takes, which I know it's hard, he's better than just about, he's better than any other option you have right now at center. Because what are you going to go out on the market and get that's better than him?
You would have to lock something. You would have to know, it would have to be an airtight guarantee from someone that they were going to come in and play center. And I don't know that the options out there are better, but you've got to weigh how much money you're paying. And that's why they're discussing the release of Michael Finley, because the guy's going to make $51 million over the next 3 years. Yeah, he's serviceable. He's still got skills, and he's a player on the decline, no doubt about that, but it's because he makes so much money.
He's more functional to you than Michael Finley is. And he's
here,
much harder to replace. I mean, there's
Josh Howard,
skill sets out there like Michael Finley.
Right, because Josh Howard isn't going to play center.
Right, right.
Josh Howard can do what Michael Finley does and do it a lot better. If you had somebody, okay, what if you got Samuel Dalembert? Well, if you could pry him away from the 76ers, if you had a guarantee from Samuel Dalembert, would you buy out Eric Dampier?
I guess you might think about it, but it's such a dream world. I guess I don't like to try and think about those subjects, because how are they going to get him in here?
I don't know. You know, the thing that's really aggravating about this is that we're 1 year into the guy's contract. 1 year into the guy's contract.
Into a 6-year contract. 7-year contract?
It's a 7-year deal. Yeah.
Sorry, because he was a sign and trade with Golden State.
Yeah, let's go over this real quick. He made $7 million last year. He'll make $7.8 next year, $8.7 in 2006-07. In 2007-08, he'll make $9.6 million. In 2008-09, bumps up to $10.5 million. In 2009-10, 11-3.
Just 10, not 010, is it?
Huh? 2010 and 2011, he'll be making $12.25 million.
It's a lot of money.
It's so much money, and the money's really not. The money is the overall writing issue, but it's also very frustrating that the Mavericks have looked for a center for so long. They think they've landed one in Eric Dampier, and there's all this talk he's going to, the 12-12 that year, that's not a fluke. Don't believe that it's a smokescreen. Those are legitimate numbers. He can do that on a nightly basis. And it just didn't happen. And worse yet, in the postseason, when you want someone to raise their game, he didn't raise his game. At points he did. Sporadically he did. But he didn't do it consistently. He fell apart at times. Yeah, not only was it consistently average, he fell apart at times. And it did take the swift kick in the ass to get him going. That's, put that with the money that he's making, and it just looks like such a bad contract.
But your options are very limited.
I know.
They're trying to find somebody that can play behind him, because it's such a troublesome spot. League-wide, they're going to have trouble finding somebody to play behind.
Last year's first-round pick.
Pavel Podkolzin?
That's right.
Let me tell you something. There's a better chance of him being on this roster, I think, than DJ Musvenga.
Did you hear Skin's description of Pavel Podkolzin yesterday?
No.
Oh, so funny. He said he saw him, summer games or some summer camp, Goodwill games. I don't know where it was that he saw him. He said he was the slowest guy that he's ever seen. He said he was remarkably slow.
Really?
Never seen a guy that slow. He was so slow that it was the,
I believe that there's someone behind me. Let me turn around and look and see if there's some. Yes, there is someone behind me. That's how slow the guy looked.
Well, they got another 2 years of him to go.
And then
guaranteed.
And then the moose.
So
it's a good thing they signed him to a 2 year contract so nobody would snatch him up after riding the pine for 1 year.
That's not so bad a decision. Look at what Dampier's making and then look at the moose. 2 years, what, 1.2?
No, 1.6 last year and 1.76 this year for a guy who played in Belgium.
That looks like a bargain. Looks like a bargain compared to what Dampier's making. And Tarik Abdul-Wahed, just looking at salaries here,
mm-hmm.
You know how much he's going to make next year?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. 7.3.
And in 06 or 07, 7.8. How great is that, man? Guy's going to make over $15 million the next 2 years. And he may not even put on a pair of shoes.
Maybe just assuming not.
It's a great life, man.
It
that is.
That is
a great life.
Well, the Mavericks are looking for a backup center, a perimeter shooter, which when they say they're looking for a perimeter shooter, that should solidify right that Mike Finley is being bought out later this month. I mean, if they're looking for a perimeter shooter.
It's a strong indication. Yeah.
And they're also looking for possibly a third point guard. How about Sarunas Jasevičius, the Lithuanian wonder who Larry Bird calls the best European player right now? 29-year-old point guard who, if he played for Team Lithuania, Donnie Nelson knows
it. I think there's someone that might have something to say about that description, the best European player. I don't believe Larry Bird's ever seen
Antoine Rigaudeau. He was just the best French player, okay?
Oh, that's so cheap, man. It is so cheap.
Yeah.
It is.
He did play at the University of Maryland, so he knows something about basketball in the U.S.
Oh, God.
It is 10:46 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. We were supposed to talk to Alan Best with this last segment. We're still trying to track him down. When we do, we will talk to NASCAR with him as NBC will be showing their first race of the season.
Really?
This Saturday night.
Go Weber.
But up next, it's a college guessing game. Someone has ranked the college coaches, and there are going to be some mad people around here. There's going to be some happy.
And I think that after he is cleared, he will open up the store that he has always dreamed of.
What store is that?
He spoke often and frequently.
Same thing.
About opening a store in Shreveport, Louisiana to sell marijuana and Zamfir CDs. He wants to call this store Hot and Pan.
Oh, that's okay. Well, thank you for your bravery. Thank you for
the info.
Thank you for your courage.
I don't know how credible it is, but thank you very much for that info there. There's a deep throat informant, and again, we don't know as his reliability, but we'll take him for what it's worth.
The Ticket Drop Page Radio. Tonight, on and on with Nelson Crank.
I've had it, Kimberly. I'm joining the war. It's time to do something good, and it's time to stop doing things ungood.
But, Dawson, won't the school football team be upset? You've been their starting quarterback for 13 years.
I've had it with high school, Kimberly. Everyone's so non-mature. Hey, can you help me load my beer cooler into my backpack?
Dawson, you can't drag a cooler around the desert while you're fighting in the war.
You're right, Kimberly. I have to settle for just hard liquor and a small bong. War is so hard, Kimberly.
Dawson, will you miss me while you're in Iraq?
Yes, Kimberly. But I hear when you're tagging the women over there, they have to wear a sheet so you can't see their ugly faces. War is awesome.
The Ticket Drop Page Radio.
Jay Leno. Morning, Jay.
Yes,
Jay.
Great to come talk to you guys again.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about what yesterday was like.
Yeah, well, quite a big day for me. Of course, I had to testify in the Michael Jackson trial. I'm sure you guys saw that.
Right.
You know, the saddest part of this Michael Jackson scandal is that all this would have been avoided if he just stuck to grabbing his own crotch. But, you know, I guess they got Michael on the new California law, you know, three tykes and you're out. So.
Oh, boy. Hadn't heard that one.
Yeah, when I don't know if you guys know this, but of course, I mean, involved in the case, I know a lot of the inside information.
Yeah.
But when Michael surrendered to police, they fingerprinted him, and afterwards police said that his fingers looked black for the first time in 15 years.
The Ticket Drop Page Radio. Bedliner and the special Texas Titan badge right on the ticket.
Would you like to hear Michael Jackson jokes?
Oh, yeah.
Some word jokes.
No, that was just me commenting.
Oh, okay.
Some of the jokes.
All right.
Are these jokes that you told on the Tonight Show last night? Or?
Yeah, you know, these are jokes that I've been using on the air and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You guys can use them if you want to.
Okay.
Yeah. How can you tell when Michael Jackson's giving a party?
How?
All the tricycles in the driveway.
Pretty good.
Why was Michael spotted at Kmart?
Why?
He heard boys' pants were half off.
Jay Leno.
Come on, Jay.
It's kind of a gross one here, but, you know, what's brown and in a baby's diaper?
Hmm.
Michael Jackson's hand.
Oh. Wow.
What does Michael Jackson consider a perfect 10?
Hmm.
2 5-year-olds.
Oh. Yeah. These are good ones.
Go with Echo and you're conquering that yard with the easiest starting, best performing, longest lasting outdoor power equipment on the planet. Echo trimmers, blowers, and edgers make yard work a breeze. Trim the trees with your Echo chainsaw. Tame those bushes with your Echo hedge clipper. Till that dirt with your Echo cultivator. The ease comes from Echo's commercial-grade engine standard on every single piece of equipment, giving them the EPA's highest durability rating. This spring and summer, go with Echo. Try an Echo out today at Four Brothers Outdoor Power in Royce City and Foreman's in Colleyville. Echo, ask any pro.
Breaking sports news now.
The end of the world when the Rangers lost the first 2 of 4 to the Angels. Ticker brought to you by Billiards and Bar Stools and Echo Outdoor Power Equipment. Now many are back on the bandwagon. Baby Huey looked like Mark Teixeira talked about the overreaction of people.
You win a couple games, people think everything's great. When you lose a couple games, people think the world's over. So through a season like this, you really can't put too much on one win or two wins or whatever.
John O'Clock tries for his 8th win tonight as he faces the Mariners up in Seattle. Aaron Seeley goes for the M's. Chano has an ERA of .136 at Safeco. Bud Selig expected to hand down punishment for Kenny Rogers today. Mavs will be hunting and pecking this free agency season. They desire an athletic big man, amongst other things. Likes of Dale Davis, Dikembe Mutombo, and Chris Anderson are out there. Roger Federer back in the Wimbledon finals after a win today over Leighton Hewitt. He's won Wimbledon 2 times before. That's a Ticket Ticker, a service of AutoZone. Don't hit that road this summer without a trip to AutoZone. AutoZone has everything you need to help you travel safely and save money on gas. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Next Ticket Ticker, 11:10, breaking sports news first guaranteed. Jimmy Christopher reminding you to remember the time you've been listening to the Throwdown in for Noor middays, 10 to 1 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. We all have photographic memories, but some of us don't have film.
10:52 wants a throwdown in for Norm this morning. We will be here until noon.
No?
Excuse me, 1
o'clock. We're going to 1 today. I hope you're doing 3 hours with me. I got to do the last hour by myself.
You want the hour by yourself? You have it, man. You want
the
it.
Dick Hicks Power Hour.
This segment brought to you by Echo Outdoor Power Equipment and Dave and Buster's. And we're going to have a little guessing game. Recently, I was looking at the computer, as I will do on occasion, and I came across one man's ranking of the top 10 coaches in college football.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the bottom 5 coaches in college football.
Uh-oh.
Not so good.
Uh-oh. Anybody we're going to know on that list?
There might
personally
be
know?
A couple of people on there.
Personally know any of us?
I will give you the heads up. The good, strong football man, Phil Bennett, is not on the list. Is that who you're referring to?
I was afraid, maybe. Yeah.
Good.
Glad to
know. He is a
good man, and nothing against him or the SMU program, but I don't know that they. I mean, you got to rate to be overrated.
Okay.
They ain't really rating these days. Nothing against him or SMU, but I'm pulling for him. Pulling for the Punks.
I am too.
Nothing.
I don't know if anybody's aware of that, but I am too.
So let's bring on Frito and Jer. And
well, we don't have Frito. We have Jer.
Frito.
I don't
know. Gordon.
Jimmy. How about Tom Gribble join us
for
this segment?
Tom Gribble will join us here.
Hey, the booking department has a bit of an update.
Oh, Mike.
I just talked to Alan Bestwick in Daytona. He'll join us at 12:10.
All right.
12:10. Let me come borrow your pen there. 12:10 for Alan Bestwick. So we'll talk to him.
All right.
Okay.
Can we get on with the college coaches guessing him?
Go ahead.
So what are we guessing on here? The top 10 coaches?
Okay. You got your top 10 is what you have. Then you also have your bottom 5. And then you got your most underrated, and then you got your most overrated.
We want to start with the best.
You know what? You can just throw them out there. I don't care.
Pete Carroll.
Way to start at the top, Rich.
Number one.
He is number one.
He's only won back-to-back national championships, sort of.
Yeah, well, that'll do that for you.
Overrated. Mack Brown.
Overrated. Mack Brown.
Get the horns mad at me today by suggesting that he's on the overrated list.
Well, they might be mad at you.
Oh, I agree with you.
They might be mad at you and Aggie Tom over there.
What are you talking about?
But if they are not going to be mad at Stuart Mandel from Sports Illustrated because he has Mack Brown as his 10th best college coach.
See, I disagree
with
that.
How about that, huh?
I say he needs to be on the list of your best college recruiters.
Put your horns up.
But I question
you. Yeah, there you go. Put
the
horns up.
Of 10 best coaches in the country.
I couldn't agree
more. And I like Mack Brown.
And that's almost become trite to say because we say it so much around here, but it holds true every year. Why do you think
the only big game he's won has been the Rose Bowl this year, right?
That's right. That's right.
And I'll give him credit. That was a great win for him, but what else has he done? He's brought in great players.
And who did he beat? Who did Mack Brown beat this year?
Michigan.
Yeah, Lloyd Carr.
Okay, this guy, Stuart Mandel, he says, just a quick note on Lloyd Carr, because he has him just outside of his 10 best coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And Mack Brown came in 10th, by the way. He says, a quick word on Carr, because I know you'll ask. I just don't think he fits any of these lists, best, worst, underrated, or overrated. I don't think he's one of the top 10 best. Certainly don't think he's one of the 5 worst. And I don't think he's necessarily underrated or overrated. On the positive side, he's overseen one of the nation's most consistently successful programs in the past 10 years. And he's appeared in the past 2 Rose Bowls. On the negative side, he annually has, if you believe the recruiting rankings, as much talent on hand as any team in the country, yet hasn't contended for a national title since the one he won in 97, and without fail loses at least one early season game he shouldn't. So for the purpose of these rankings, he's somewhere in between. I think the description also
fits Mack Brown.
Applies to Mack Brown. Why do you think UT hires all these... I mean, look who they hired away from Auburn, and the guy's name escapes me, but he oversaw that defense that had the top defense in the country. They hired him away.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, Mack Brown has been perennially being a preseason top 5 pick in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of all the talent he's brought in. They aren't always a top 5 finisher.
Mm-hmm.
Close to it. They're top 10 finisher.
Sure. All right, we're ranking the top 10 best, top 5 worst coaches.
Where's Aggie Tom's coach at?
Let's see. Dennis Franchione. Making a pizza pie. Down in College Station.
This was your Russian impression, by the way.
It was yesterday. It was just Vladimir Putin yesterday.
They kind of melt together.
So Stuart Mandel of Sports Illustrated gives his 8 most underrated and his 4 most overrated.
Dennis Franchione on the overrated.
Dennis Franchione,
no way.
4 most overrated.
That guy is high.
Let me give you the 4 most overrated because you'll never get him. NC State
Holtz on there.
Hold on. NC State's Chuck Amato.
Okay.
Wait a minute. He's overrated? That's what Stuart
says. Boy, I would disagree.
That's what Stuart says.
All he's done is take a middle-of-the-rung ACC program and make them one of the top flight teams in that league.
That is not a football school at all.
But he's done a great job there.
Has.
Virginia's Al Groh.
Yeah, okay. I can go with that.
Texas A&M's Dennis Franchione.
He's high. Mandel's high.
What's he won?
Minnesota's Glenn Mason.
Formerly of Kansas, right? Glenn Mason? Yeah, he was from Kansas before that.
I believe so.
Yeah, Skip Holtz probably doesn't qualify because he just got a job recently.
Mm-hmm.
Does it apply for Dennis Franchione, Rich?
That's a fair question, Rich.
That team program is at least a year ahead of what they should be.
Answer the question. What has he ever done?
Excuse me. He's got two programs that are leaps and bounds ahead of him in their own division, let alone
two programs. Who else is coaching besides A&M?
Well, Oklahoma and Texas are in that Big 12 South, so they've got to deal with that. And that program is a year ahead of where they really should be realistic.
I can see arguments on both sides. I mean, what has Dennis Franchione won? He hadn't really won anything yet. Part of it's because he hadn't stayed anywhere long enough to win anything. But in his defense, though, in Fran's defense, I mean, look what he did at TCU in taking that 1-10 team and making them a bowl team the next year. And they just missed their first bowl game since then last year as his players are starting to roll out of the program now.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't really count Alabama. He didn't stay there long enough and they got put on probation. I can see it both ways, but he does get so much press. He's talked about so much. I could see him being considered overrated because he hadn't won anything. But
he will.
He could change that, I think, very easily. I think he has the ability
to
change.
Easy for Aggie Tom to say. All right, let's get to some other coaches here. Top 10 best, top 5 worst, underrated, overrated, according to Stuart Mandel of Sports Illustrated.
Larry Coker from Miami.
Larry Coker, believe he is not on this list.
Not even on the, you already gave us the overrated list.
Yeah. So, no, he's not on the underrated.
He took a good program and kept it good.
I'm surprised Bobby Bowden isn't on that overrated list.
He's not on the overrated.
Because we all know that Bobby doesn't coach anymore.
He naps a lot.
Right, and he flies around on the private jet, and they tell him what city he's in, and he gets there.
He shops for cool hats and sunglasses.
He shakes the hand of mom and pop, and he gets them to send their kids.
I'm thinking national. Think a little more local.
Bob Stoops.
Bob Stoops, number two. Of course, the guy has been to the three national championship games. Lost two of them, but he also won one. You got to get there to win it, so he does get some credit for that. So Bob Stoops of Oklahoma, number two on the top 10 list from Stuart Mandel.
What about K-State?
He is not on there. Bill Snyder.
Bill Snyder.
Bill Snyder does not make the list, no, unfortunately. No.
Does anybody else have a Big 12 on one of these lists?
Keep going.
Oh.
Keep going. Help me out here.
Let's Colorado.
Les Miles does not make the list. Where the hell did he go, by the way?
There's some program called LSU. Yeah.
I'm surprised he's not on that list of the underrated coaches.
I think he did a pretty good job.
He just changed jobs.
Yeah, he did a pretty good job with that LSU
program. But he moved up.
Yeah, he did move up. No, he's not on the list.
Gary Barnett, is he on the list?
Gary Barnett, not on the list.
Okay, but there is a Big 12 coach in the mix here.
Keep going.
Mike Leach.
Thank you. Most underrated coaches.
Come on.
Get them up. There you go, Rich.
Get them down.
Get those guns up, baby.
Mandel loves the tricked up offense.
Texas Tech, Mike Leach, one of the most underrated coaches, according to Stuart Mandel of Sports Illustrated.
That's on that underrated list?
Keep going.
That Dan Hawkins from Boise State on there?
Dan Hawkins, he has his number 8 on the best.
Oh, good for him.
Yes.
Glad he recognizes
Dan
that.
Dan Hawkins of Boise State.
The guy runs a great program up there. They have perennially, they're top 20 team now in a low-run conference.
I'm curious how much this coach,
Bob's curious a lot, too.
He is.
It's funny that you're curious, too. Go ahead.
About Tyrone Willingham, how he ranks on any of those lists, if he ever appears. Are they going to blame him for Notre Dame, or is it Notre Dame is going to get the blame?
No, they're not. He's not on this list.
Really?
Keep going with the Big 12.
Oh, really?
Yes. Come on. We ain't got a lot of schools left.
No.
So,
overrated Bill Callahan at Nebraska?
Huh? No, he's not on there. I've given you the most overrated. There are four. And
oh, that's right.
Franchione was only Big 12. So you've got
even. Barnett's not on the list.
You've either got the best, the worst, or the most
underrated. Oh, so they got the worst? Guy Morris on the worst list?
Guy Morris is one of the most underrated coaches.
Really?
Yes. Baylor's Guy Morris.
How?
Stuart Mandel of FI. Well,
again, don't you have to be rated to be underrated?
Oh, that's what I thought. Maybe because of
it's because of the A&M win last year.
Maybe so, man.
Thank you.
And
buddy, you're welcome, Baylor.
Did he have a big win at Kentucky?
No, he lost to LSU.
LSU won that game.
Oh,
they dumped Gatorade on the guy.
That's right.
Okay, one more, Big 12. Keep going.
And you said K-State's not?
No, K-State's not on there.
Well, we're done with the South.
Mickey Spagnola?
Iowa State.
He went to Missouri.
He went to Missouri.
Gary Pinkle.
Oh, okay.
Gary Pinkle.
He's on the underrated list?
He's on one of the five worst coaches.
Wow.
He said, this is his description, rarely has a coach so thoroughly screwed up a star player's development as Pinkle did with Brad Smith last season, drawing a deluge of public criticism, including from Smith's father, who compared the coach's personality to a dill pickle.
Hey, Dill.
Mike Corby. Hey, Dill. All right, that's it for the Big 12. Any others you want to keep going with? Oh, yeah. There's one guy on the worst. There's a couple of guys you'll know on the worst list.
Joe Paterno?
Joe Paterno at number five on the worst coaches
list. That poor guy. He's just hanging around too long. He's just too old.
He's not one of the worst. He's just hung around for far too
long. Small private school in the Midwest?
Yeah, that's kind of what it is.
No. It's not
Penn
private.
Not private or in the Midwest.
Yeah, well, I thought Greg was just making a guess. Because Bobby Petrino from Louisville is on there. He comes in
on the best coaches
list? He comes in at number five on the best.
That was another guy. I couldn't think of who the coach was, but Louisville was a good program.
Kirk Ferentz. Iowa comes in at number three, and he is a good coach.
What about the Cal coach?
Jeff Tedford, he is just outside the top ten, according to Stuart Mandel of SI.
Nobody else with any local ties, I'm assuming.
No, nobody else with any local ties.
Although,
there's one guy, and he is number one on the worst coaches list. He used to have a local tie.
Stuart Cedar.
Yeah.
Chan Gailey at Georgia Tech.
Chan Gailey. He is named as Stuart Mandel's worst coach in college.
What did he do wrong?
Yeah,
he took him to a bowl game a couple years ago.
Hold on. He says, what's the difference between failed NFL coach Carroll and failed NFL coach Gailey? An ability to command respect from his players. For 3 years, the Jackets have demonstrated a lack of discipline both on the field, where they continually lay eggs just before or after flashing potential brilliance, and off it, numerous academic and legal casualties. Beware of the supposed man of God, Chan Gailey.
Okay.
Yeah. Rich Brooks is his second worst coach, Kentucky, former coach of the Rams.
Oh, okay. I forgot what he was.
Pinkle at three. Bobby Wallace of Temple at four. Mm. Who cares? And Joe Paterno at five. We do have some remaining on our best coaches, according to Stuart Mandel of SI. Jim Tressel
of Ohio State
at number four. Then you have Bobby Petrino of Louisville at number five. We have number six and number nine. Six, seven, and nine.
And that Porker at Tennessee.
Phil Fulmer at number nine. So you've got six and seven left. You've got the ACC and the SEC.
Who's coaching at Auburn these days?
Nope, not on the list.
Tommy Tuberville?
Yeah, I believe so. No, he's not on the list.
Big Dick Hunter.
SEC and ACC.
Maryland.
Help me out here.
Arkansas.
Nope. Houston Nutt's
not on the list.
Nope. Who's your rival school? You're a big Florida State fan. Who's the rival school?
Florida.
Who's the coach? Urban Meyer.
Oh, yeah, I forgot he got the job because he moved from Utah.
Yeah.
He's on the list there. That's probably a good choice since they got them into a BCS
game. The ACC.
Is it Maryland?
No, it's not Maryland. It's not the Fridge, Ralph Friedgen.
Boy.
Who's been right up there, almost contending for a national championship about
Virginia Tech.
Frank Beamer. Yes, thank you. Frank Beamer, the seventh best.
They'll have the best special teams in the country every year at Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
They always do.
So there you go. There's the 10 best.
But I think it was hands down, it had to be Pete Carroll. We all knew that.
Oh, of course.
Number one.
Of course. Chan Gailey. I thought that was very funny when I read that.
I don't know about that.
It was Big 12. Huge presence in all that. Good, bad, and ugly.
Ooh, it's 11:08 here on the ticket. The Throwdown News Desk is next. A calendar of scantily clad women you may not want.
A funny place to smuggle drugs.
KTCK Dallas-Fort Worth, KTDK Sager.
How does Michael Jackson pick his nose?
How?
From a catalog.
That's pretty good, yeah. Got the fake nose.
You know, I wasn't the only celebrity that Michael Jackson contacted for this trial here.
Oh, you weren't?
No, I understand he placed a call to Boys to Men. He thought it was a delivery service only.
Oh, God.
The Pope,
I don't know if you guys have heard this,
The Pope has actually issued a proclamation on Michael Jackson.
Oh, he has?
Yeah, he says if he has any more allegations about little boys, the Pope will have no choice but to make him a priest.
Oh, my God. That's way offensive.
You think so?
Yeah.
Is that right, George?
Yes, I think it was.
Hey, did you hear about the duet by Michael Jackson and Elton John?
No. Mm.
It's titled "Please Let the Sun Go Down on Me."
Radio. Let's see. Do we have Steve Nash? Are you with us, Steve?
Yeah, Craig. How are you?
Hey, good morning, and congratulations on your MVP award and an incredible playoff run.
Hey, man, thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
And also joining us on the ticket hotline is the owner of the Mavericks, Mark Cuban. Morning, Mark.
Morning, Mason.
How are you?
Okay. Get better.
Yeah, I figured you'd be pretty down after the game on Friday night.
Yeah, but you know what? We won.
Well, no. Actually,
yes, we did. The hearts and minds of Maverick fans. Oh, God. I'm fired up. You can't tell me that all the Maverick fans leaving the AAC weren't fired up. They still think they are number one. They're
MFFL.
MFFL, yes.
Mavs fans for life.
Something you'll never understand, Steve. God, this guy's delusional, Craig.
The tickets drop for Adrian. The tickets drop for Adrian.
Unbelievable. Little Ken only won, and he can't get over it. I can get over it. I can get over losing you.
Whatever.
It's not as if you lit us up for 30 every night or something.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. I think he averaged 40 in the last three games. He was unstoppable.
Well, we didn't guard him. We didn't think we had to guard him.
Yeah, so was that your plan, not to even guard me?
Yeah, we thought you'd fail making outside shots just like you did when you were here with us in the playoffs.
Okay. Whatever. Hey, listen, I'd rather have a title and an MVP than a mopped up and shark teeth.
Well, you're not an MVP.
Yes, I am.
Yeah,
you're the MVP?
Yeah, he won it.
Yeah. Dirk didn't get it?
No.
That's a crock. Either Dirk or Finn should have got MVP.
Finn?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, he's not really MVP material.
So glad to be out of there. Oh, my God, I'm glad to be out of there.
Well, you look like you're having fun in Phoenix. I mean, you guys play a fun show. Well, you look like you're having fun in Phoenix. I mean, you guys play a fun style. You're into the conference finals. You seem to be enjoying life.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was great. You know, it was a little bit of sweet justice beating the Mavericks after they traded me away like so much garbage. Mm-hmm. Or didn't sign me, at least.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had a lot of incentive to come in the AAC and win.
Well, it's nice if you get a trophy for winning the Western Conference semifinals. I mean, big deal. We've done that before.
No, but I mean, we're gonna battle hard against the Spurs. It's gonna be tough.
Hey, you may have won the MVP, but you've never had a successful reality show.
Yeah, neither have you.
I guess you've never heard of the Benefactor.
Yeah, and apparently no one else in America did either.
.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance.
You see, Craig, well, I'm glad I'm not there.
Yeah, I guess I kind of do.
I mean, do you see the way that jackass acts on the baseline? It's unbelievable. You know, I know what that MFFL stands for on the shirt because that's what he's going to be for life.
Oh,
hey, watch it, dude. Hey, that MVP trophy didn't help you much against the Spurs, did it?
Well, you know, they're a tough team. And, you know, we've seen the team in the playoffs before. You know, Duncan's a scary player. He's great.
I dance better than you.
We've got to play our best. And,
I have more Maverick jerseys than you do.
You know, they're good.
I still get to warm up with the Mavericks.
Look, can I talk basketball without this jackass interrupting me?
We still have a better locker room than you do in Phoenix.
Who cares about that stuff? What matters is winning.
Hey, you're not so hot. I noticed you're starting to go bald.
Yeah, so are you.
Yeah, but my comb over's better.
You think?
You need to settle down. It's just, you know, I thought we buried the hatchet 2 months ago when we had John. Can't you just...
I'm not going to rest until I buried his back.
Whoa. Hey, listen, I'm over it. You know, it's this guy that I try to come on here and talk basketball, and it's kind of hard with this gay billionaire pestering me the whole
time. Okay. Okay, yeah, you want to talk some basketball? How about this basketball boy? 86% of all calls were wrong. Wrong.
Well, I don't know that
all of them were wrong.
That.
Yes, they were. 86%. Look at the tape. You looked at the tape, Junior?
Well,
you studied every tape.
I haven't gone back.
You've done your homework, have you?
Well, I haven't had time to look at the tape.
Gay.
I'd much rather win a title than be sitting in some cramped editing bay reviewing calls all the time.
Well, it's hard enough to beat teams. It's another thing to have to beat the officials, too.
All right. It didn't come down to the officials, Mark.
Yes, it did. Dirk can get a foul call.
Well,
please.
Dirk has two.
Go get a haircut.
Contract to negotiate, so I think based on this incident itself, I would say would not cause a blemish on the other 17 years that he's been with this organization.
License on cameraman. John Ho and Aaron Seeley are the hurlers tonight in Seattle as the Rangers start a three-game set this weekend. FC Dallas returns home tomorrow night for a final match of the Cotton Bowl, and they host the San Jose Earthquakes. FCD then goes on the road for three games before opening Pizza Hut Park in Frisco on August 6th. Women's final at Wimbledon is set. Lindsay Davenport will meet Venus Williams in an All-American final. Roger Federer will play the winner of the Andy Roddick-Thomas Johansson match, which has been suspended by rain in the first set. Sports Radio 1310, the ticket weather. There's a thunderstorm warning for Parker County till 12:15 today. That's the ticket ticker, a service of barbecues galore. They have everything you need for barbecuing this 4th of July. Choose from the best selection of quality grills and accessories in town with low prices guaranteed. Barbecues galore. Call 1-800-GRILL-UP. Next ticket ticker, 11:30. Breaking sports news first, guaranteed. Jimmy Christopher reminding you to remember the time you spent listening to the Throwdown Dudes. They are in for bad radio. Middays, 10 to noon, here in Sports Radio 1310, the ticket.
They're news guys, but they're sports news guys on the ticket ticker. So their news judgment is questionable, to say the least. At any rate, it's time for an update from the Throwdown News Desk. With the tickets, Rich Phillips and Kevin Scott.
It is 11:16 here on the ticket, and we'll start off the news desk in Southern California.
1 out of 12, a 415 man with a gun. 1 out of 12, no warrant.
Randolph County is the area. I think it's somewhere near L.A.
Not Rampart?
No.
Huh?
That's the wrong show.
No, I don't think so.
Rampart was Chips, wasn't it?
No, I think it was Adam 12. That's it. Gone to Beatles.
Oh, well. Rampart was Chips, wasn't it?
I really don't know. I don't know. I mean, I watch Chips.
I love Chips, and they have those high-speed chases at 25 miles an hour, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And they didn't speed the tape up either, like they should have.
The Chips?
Seven women who usually gather to play cards are planning to show their neighbors exactly what they're made of, Kevin. They want to strip down and pose for a calendar as part of the fight against plans to tear down Randolph County's 128-year-old courthouse. You're bored with nude calendars, aren't you?
How old are these ladies?
Well, they range in age.
I'm guessing if they are
from
into
their
historical,
early
let's say 60s.
70s.
Oh,
to
no.
Older than 90.
Oh.
They were posed nude with strategically placed miniature replicas of the courthouse in front of them.
Yeah. How about strategically placed gunny sacks? How about that?
Gunny sacks?
Whatever it takes, or maybe strategically placed burkas.
So this is a fundraiser to try and save the courthouse, for the Save the Courthouse Fund. Wouldn't they be a lot better off getting 20 and 30-year-olds to post news? How many people are going to buy a calendar with a 90-year-old naked lady in it?
Although, aren't there websites devoted to the new geriatric and sometimes...
Tell us about it, Kevin.
The new geriatric inaction?
I don't know. Are there?
Yeah, there are.
Oh, yes.
What do you mean, like shopping and scrolling? I said nude. And in action. I mean, you know.
Playing catch?
Volleyball? In a sense, Rich. Yeah, I guess so. Now, I don't know if there are any nude gay geriatric sites.
Well, they're going to sell the...
I think you were referring to, right?
They're going to sell the calendars for $12.95 each, and they hope to raise at least $20,000.
$20,000?
They got to sell a lot of calendars.
Woo. That's a lot of people with an old fetish, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say so.
Because it's not like you can really hang that in your office.
even if it's strategically placed. Well, I guess you could.
Wouldn't the Gordos of the world, though, buy that and think it's the funniest thing in the world?
No. Are you kidding? Have you seen some of the stuff that's on his hard drive of his computer that he carries with him everywhere he
They're
goes?
They're under 18, aren't they?
Well, I don't know, Rich. I don't want to throw him under the bus that much.
I do.
I don't think he's a pedophile or anything. Have you heard about some of the stuff he has?
I've heard.
Yeah, so you know that this is pretty tame compared to...
The guy's real easy.
By the way, that's over 1,500 calendars they need to sell to raise $20,000 at that price.
1,500?
Yeah, 1,538 calendars they'd have to sell.
Who knows? Maybe because good folks like you are getting the word out, maybe they're going to sell some of these.
Maybe. The women are, by the way, members of the Farmland Bridge Club.
I was thinking something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe a historical society or
hot.
The Bridge Club. Or
you like that gay sex?
Something like that. Let's go to Ohio.
Trying to beat us down with the positioners that Norm has for nose in the news, but he just plays them randomly so that they don't ever fit on our show.
I know.
I'm just making sure that P1's in on the joke, okay?
Man. I think some people that know the greatness of Jared get that, but others...
Jimmy got it.
Yes, I'm dying. It's funny.
I'm dying, too.
It's funny when you're dying, Jimmy. Aren't we all?
Usually it's during a ticker, isn't it?
I know. That's why it's funny. Jason Wren has been in jail for a while, Rich. He is 29 years old, and he is serving a 60-year sentence for a first-degree robbery conviction. And as guys in prison sometimes do, they'll take drugs. I mean,
soap dropping?
They try not to drop the soap. I guess some guys do want to drop the soap, but...
Really?
You probably get it without dropping the soap. You know the guys in prison do drugs.
Oh, right? I kind of assumed such. You would think that they could keep that out of a prison, for crying out loud.
Well, Jason Michael Wren was desirous of some marijuana. So he talked to...
Dan McGowan.
The mother of his baby.
Throw him under the bus.
The 20-year-old Mallory Renee McGrail of Jewett, Ohio, to try and get her to smuggle him in some marijuana. So she decided to do it for him.
What a loving baby's daddy she is.
So she went to the jail.
Baby's mommy, I guess. Sorry.
With the marijuana, and she was walking through the area, not only the holding area where you go through, and State Trooper R.M. Hogan... Had her stop for a moment and had her remove her baby's diaper. And when she attempted to hide something under the baby's bottom, he noticed it. He asked her to hand it over. She then surrendered a package of a green leafy substance that later tested positive for marijuana. All I can picture is Officer Hogan and his buddies going back there and taking out their one-hitter and just firing it up going, yep. That's marijuana, all right.
So is that the regular thing they do when you're bringing somebody in? They always check the baby's diaper? Had to strip search babies?
Probably so.
Well, what if the baby was immediately taken into custody?
As evidence?
Obviously.
They just put it on the evidence shelf, along with all kinds of chips.
Maybe he had a stomach condition. Maybe he had a stomach condition that caused him to pass that into his diaper.
The baby?
Yeah.
Ziploc bag and all?
Right. I mean, maybe he just... They left it laying around on the coffee table. He picked it up and ate it. I mean, babies eat everything. Yeah. I mean, they stick anything in their mouth.
That's dogs.
Babies will stick anything in their mouth.
And the mom just asks, how did this get in there? I don't understand this.
Nothing funnier than walking out in the backyard and walking around and seeing what the dog's eating. Like hammers.
Yeah, that's funny. That's my hammer. Hammers?
It is kind of funny.
How does a dog eat a hammer?
It's just kind of funny.
And how did that come back out?
She was arrested on...
boring times out in Lubbock, aren't they?
She was arrested on a felony charge of delivery of a controlled substance into a correctional facility. and now she is free, or she, excuse me, she remains jailed on a $5,000 bond, and she said she never would have done it if Mr. Wren hadn't been asked to do it.
If he hadn't asked me to do it.
That's exactly right.
Are you sure you got the hammer into the dog through his mouth?
Rich, don't ask me how. I just know that it was in there, okay?
All the night.
Was it like a hammer?
Was it like a cartoon? Do you see the outline of the hammer in the body of the dog?
No, we didn't have an x-ray machine in our house, okay?
I just was it like a regular size, full-size hammer or like a
little bitty one?
Just a ball peen hammer?
Ball hammer. Ball hammer.
How could a dog swallow that?
I don't know.
Sideways?
And then past it?
Ouch.
Was it just the head or was the handle included?
You realize I'm joking here, don't you? Did you know that I was joking about the hammer?
Well, you lived out in the Llano Estacado,
I love
man.
It, dude.
Yeah, but we don't ride horses and our dogs don't eat hammers, okay?
I've not
don't
been to the Llano Estacado.
Don't they?
You've heard that people...
Oh. Oh. Amigado.
This is where I get... I hate you. And then the power down sound. You know that people overseas think that people in Texas really do ride horses every day.
Oh, yeah. Because it's see on every blasted TV show. And we all wear cowboy hats and wear boots.
Those blasted TV shows.
Like when Jerry Seinfeld, when Kramer took all his tennis shoes to be cleaned at the mom and pop shoe store, and all they left him were those cowboy boots, and he got them when he worked a club in Dallas, and they didn't have any money to pay him. So, of course, all comedy clubs in Dallas have a pair of cowboy boots sitting around to give them to a comedian.
Is that what Dave Chappelle left with?
A pair of cowboy boots. Jeez. Right.
It's like, come on.
Pauly Shore left with a pair of cowboy boots.
Real quick, from New Orleans, we've had another incident.
You're supposed to spit it out, you dope. You're not supposed to swallow it.
No, I'm talking to my dog in the house.
Another incident of parents getting into a fight at a youth sporting event. This was, it was a baseball game.
Out.
I'm looking. Problem with this one, though, it was between the coaches on the same team.
Oh, little
Forties. Get you well. I don't think I can do anymore. I don't think I can do anymore. 40-year-old Greg Trish is the head coach. Ricky Johnson Sr.
Is he a man and a female coach?
No, his name is Greg Trish, and his assistant is Ricky Johnson Sr., age 43. They got into a fist fight because Trish benched Johnson's 13-year-old son for missing practice. They were calling each other offensive names. Both denied throwing the first punch. They didn't deny throwing punches, however. And it was witnessed by the 13- and 14-year-old players on the baseball team. The
nice.
Two fathers just duking it out on the same team.
Mm. Heard a story the other day about a dude who was at a baseball game that his son was playing in, and the umpire had thrown two coaches out in earlier games, and then another coach didn't like a call, and he came up and bumped him. And the umpire's dad came in.
Dad?
He was another umpire. He came in, and when this man went out of the field to try and defuse the situation, the guy picked him up and broke his neck.
Whoa.
And the doctor told him he was this close to having a Christopher Reeve injury.
Incidentally, P1 Daryl tells me Rampart's from Emergency.
Yeah,
not
I got
Chips.
Confused.
Or, well, I was confused too. I was thinking it was...
Hey, if you guys haven't checked this show out, you should tune in to Bravo. I think it's Wednesday nights. It's all about, it's called Sports Kids, Moms and Dads.
I've heard of this.
It is really good. It profiles about half a dozen different families and how these overbearing parents are trying to live their sports fantasies through the kids. It's terrific.
I think, did HBO have a special on one of those guys? About the guy who's...
George Dunham.
His 8-year-old son through... I mean, it's like an NFL training camp. They work on football 5 or 6 days a week.
Yeah.
He watches film with his kids.
Oh, yeah. On Tuesdays, he goes to the chiropractor.
Yes. Yeah. That's the one.
That's the show.
At 8 years old?
Yes.
Yeah. It is terrific.
Right now. Come
he doesn't
on.
Even know if the kid's good at football. He's going to the chiropractor.
For what? Adjustments to keep him in shape?
There's nothing worse than the parent who wants to live their life through their kid. Absolutely amazing.
All right, let's throw down news desk. Since we're doing a doubleheader on Monday,
George.
We're doing 10 to noon and 1 to 3. Could I interest you in 2 throwdown news desks on Monday?
Oh, coming up next.
No, Monday.
Oh, okay, Monday.
4th of July, dude. Come on. 11:29 on the ticket. We'll talk to Nikki next.
Hey, it's Big Dick. Tonight on the P1 Wild Ass Circus, we'll ask ourselves if we could go back in time, exist in a house with no technological advances or modern conveniences, and we'll talk to somebody who's doing exactly that for MTV, literally immersing himself back into the 1970s. That's tonight on the P1 Wild Ass Circus. Tonight.
Yeah, but my comb over's better.
You guys, you need to settle down. It's just, you know, I thought we buried the hatchet 2 months ago when we had John. Can't you just...
I'm not going to rest until I buried his back.
Whoa. Hey, listen, I'm over it. You know, it's this guy. I try to come on here and talk basketball, and it's kind of hard with this gay billionaire pestering me the whole time.
Okay, yeah, you want to talk some basketball? How about this basketball boy? 86% of all calls were wrong. Wrong.
Well, I don't know that you
all of them were wrong.
That.
Yes, they were. 86%. Look at the tape. You looked at the tape, Junior?
Well,
have you studied every tape?
I haven't gone back.
You've done your homework, have you?
Well, I haven't had time to look at the tape.
Well, okay.
I'd much rather win a title than be sitting in some cramped editing bay reviewing calls all the time.
Well, it's hard enough to beat teams. It's another thing to have to beat the officials, too.
All right. It didn't come down to the officials, Mark.
Yes, it did. Dirk can get a foul call.
Well,
please. Dirk has two.
Go get a haircut.
Drop three, three.
Uh-huh. Well, Tiger, what happened to you this weekend? We expected to see you playing on Saturday and Sunday, and you missed the cut?
Oh, guys, I got to tell you, I feel so relieved.
Why?
Because I finally quit golf.
You quit?
Yep.
You got the U.S. Open coming up
well,
here.
Well, I always said, you know, as soon as I miss a cut, I'm going to quit golf, and so now I finally did. And I'm so relieved because now I can do what I've always wanted to do.
What?
Start a cell phone stand.
Oh, gosh.
It's called Cold as Ice. And I've already had it open for a couple days.
Is it out on your curb?
Yeah. It's out in front of my house.
Well, you
so far, all the other multimillionaires haven't been needing snow cones for some reason.
Amazing. So it seems like you could do that and play golf. I wouldn't see how that would keep you from playing on the tour.
No, I'm done with golf. Apparently, I'm no good at it.
That's not true.
Drop Page Radio.
Drop Page Radio.
No, I'm done with golf. Apparently, I'm no good at it.
That's not true at all.
You can't even make a cut anymore.
Well, you missed one in your last 143 starts.
I tell you what, I'd rather miss the cut and beat Tiger Woods and be Ted Purdy and win.
Why is that?
Who's Ted Purdy? Even his own family's never heard of him.
No, that's not true.
That is true.
He just hadn't won as much as you had, that's all.
Well, I'm not playing golf anymore. Even if I was, I wouldn't play that Colonial.
Why? Well, yeah, we noticed you're not playing there again.
Because I went through the rolls, and they didn't even have one combination as a member.
Well, I think you can say that about any club.
Yeah, good point, because I remember one time I went through the world's phone book and only found one combination. Woods/Eldridge. Plus, I think the course at Colonial sucks.
Oh, come on. It's an old classic course. You can't say that about that.
Radio. Drop Page Radio.
The biggest ideas to come out of Dallas are the Calatrava Bridges, beautiful arcs of light that will reach impossibly high.
School of the Performing and Visual Arts. You know, it's been the training ground for three multiple Grammy Award-winning
artists have made the entrance to Deep Ellum a wave of graffiti, a colorful icon that lures thousands of upscale shoppers a year to Neiman Market, the fashion center
court where Dallas has shown some real depth this year thanks to the solid
marble that sculptor Jesus Morales carved into a
thick and juicy five-star steak at the largest five-day auto show in the nation with over 700 vehicles on display.
Of grandeur, grace, and design. So that these new bridges will really show how big we think in
Dallas. A city built on big ideas that makes a big impression. On those who come to see our swagger, on those dreaming up the next big thing. Let our nightlife draw the big idea out of you. With hundreds of live music acts and more restaurants per capita than New York, there's always another way to live large and think big. Log on to visitdallas.com for details.
And it's time to fire up the grill.
Hello, this is Belvedere Vodka, welcoming you to the beautiful life. Today, we're discussing the proper way to sip Belvedere citrus from a woman's navel. 1. Pour. 2. Sip. Yummy. This has been Belvedere Citrus and a navel of exquisite merit for the beautiful life.
and dose moderately. Belvedere Vodka, 40% alcohol by volume, distilled from Rye Millennium Import, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Hello, this is Belvedere Vodka and The Beautiful Life, listening to Wagner. It's been said Wagner's music is better than it sounds. No, it's not. This has been Belvedere Vodka for The Beautiful Life, a life far more beautiful with far less Wagner. Far, far less Wagner.
Indulge moderately. Belvedere Vodka, 40% alcohol by volume, distilled from Rye Millennium Import, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
We'll ostrich and kangaroo, but we won't be open on the 4th, cause we're taking the day off too. Now through Sunday, every item's on sale. 10% off all regular price merchandise. Wrangler rigid denim jeans, $18.99. Larry Mahan, full quill ostrich western boots, $229.99. Hens Wolverine chuck is only $44.99. All spring shirts and tops, 20 to 40% off. And 15% off all belts, buckles, jewelry, and accessories. If you want to shop us on your duff, go online and check out all our stuff. Visit Kevinners.com.
When we say sports, you say now.
Rangers trail the Halos by 6.5 games as they head to Seattle for a weekend set. Ticker brought to you by Bud Light and Nissan. Angels in Kansas City, as Kevin Mensch thinks Texas can still catch those Halos.
Well, they're making 162 games. That's the way it's going to come out. I mean, if I counted Boston out last year when they were down 3-0 against the Yankees, and they did. They made history, so you know what? Anything's possible, especially nowadays.
Rangers waiting to hear from Major League Baseball on the suspension of angry man Kenny Rogers. Mavs are in the pro summer leagues in Las Vegas from July 6th through the 15th and in Salt Lake City from the 16th to the 22nd of this month, featuring Marquise Daniels, Devin Harris, and the two big stiffs, DJ and Pavel. Ben Curtis and Jim Furyk, 7-under at the Western Open, and yet to go off for round two. Todd Fisher, Louisville's Chad Campbell, and Tim Heron all playing there, a shot back. Tiger is even in the second round through 13 holes. Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket News. Justice Sandra Day O'Connor resigning from the U.S. Supreme Court after 24 years. That's The Ticket Ticker, a service of Walmart. That shopping list can look mighty ferocious. Fight back with one-stop shopping at Walmart Supercenter, with services like Tire and Lube Express, getting everything your family needs at the Walmart price. It's never been easier. Next Ticket Ticker at 11:50, breaking sports news first guaranteed. Jimmy Christopher reminding you to remember the time he's been listening to the Throwdown. In for Bad Radio, middays 10 to 1 here at Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
The fighters are ready. Are you? Dos Equis Fight Night at The Village, Thursday, July 7th. Bouts begin at 6, brought to you by Diamonds by Drake and Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
11:37, Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. It is the Throwdown. Kevin Scott at Richfield in for Norm this morning. The P1 Wild Ass Circus is going to be out Monday night for Independence Day. And not only that, it's Service Industry Day.
Yes.
So it could be Service Independence Day. It could be Independence Industry Day. However you phrase it, it's Sneaky Pete's in the P1 Wild Ass Circus at Lake Louisville Monday, July the 4th from 8 to 11. Go out and get a free pass to the ticket screening of Wedding Crashers, Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn. All with the P1 Wild Ass Circus, Monday night at Lake Louisville. We are joined now by Mickey Spagnola, who joins us on the phone lines. Rich, hello, Mick.
What's going on?
What's shaking on the ship to shore today?
Ship to shore, yeah, you got it. I wish I was on the ship.
Wish I was on the ship too, man. Unfortunately, we're not.
We're on shore.
Hey, man, we had a second ago, we had some guy ranked the college coaches.
Uh-huh.
And I had to give you as a clue as one of the top, or the five worst coaches. The guy rated Gary Pinkel as one of the five worst coaches in college football.
Did he really?
Yeah, yeah. He said that he has pretty much ruined the career of Brad Smith.
Well, I don't know if he's totally ruined the career of Brad Smith, because I'm not sure how good of a passer he was, and I think he was trying to turn him into more of a pro-style quarterback. And so, you know, do you take away from a guy's college career if you're trying to prepare him for something beyond college, or are you just okay with having an option quarterback who all he wants to do is run the ball?
I know the guy's got some talent, though. He's fun to watch.
Oh, no. But again, defenses catch up with a guy that all he wants to do is take off and run. And you know what? You know, Michael Vick may be different, but a running quarterback still hasn't won a Super Bowl.
Hey, I do have something Cowboy-related for you today, Nick.
Okay.
This is something that I have not seen in a local newspaper this week. I haven't heard it anywhere. But the Cowboys, I guess they're saving money on their stadium because they received a $76.5 million disbursement from the NFL this week towards their stadium. The Colts also got $34 million under what's called the G3 Stadium Funding Program.
Correct. And
other teams have gotten this in the past. So does this directly affect and lessen the amount that the Cowboys are paying into the pool for the stadium?
At this point, yes, but there's a couple things to that you have to understand. One, you don't get a lump sum payment. It's like a revenue stream that you get a few million dollars per year. The second thing you need to understand is, you know how when you're the visiting team and you go on the road and you get a cut of the home gate?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because most of the new stadiums now not only have suites, but they have club seating. And as a visiting team, your percentage of the gate, you don't get that. Well, what the NFL decided is we're going to take a certain percentage of what that gate is, and we're going to put it into a general fund. So in essence, every owner was forfeiting some of their visiting gate into this general fund, and then the idea was, okay, you're putting money into this, and then when you need it for a stadium, you have the right to take out, I think, one-third of up to one-third of what your private funding is. And I think in the Cowboys' case, it's going to be somewhere between $75 and $100 million they'll have the right to use to pay their share of the stadium. So in essence, you've been putting into this, and what you're doing is you're getting it back, and it was an incentive the NFL created to want teams to build new stadiums.
It again shows why this league is so great, because they continue to help everybody out.
Well,
their money.
They think ahead. You know, it's like, okay, if we're going to encourage all these franchises to build new stadiums, then, you know, somehow, some way, you know, we need to help them out. Well, the league was helping themselves out because everybody was putting money in. Like when you go to, and see the difference is at Texas Stadium now, the Cowboys have suites, but they don't have club seats.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you go to Washington, and not only do they have the suites, but they've got that middle section, and that's club seating, and they don't have to share that revenue with the visiting team. So what's happening is a percentage of what that would be goes into this, what do you call it, a G3 fund?
Yeah, the G3 disbursements.
Yeah, and so in essence, you're paying something into it, and then you're just getting it back as a reward to build a new stadium. And you're right, the Cowboys do have the right to get basically a loan, but my understanding is you don't get a lump sum. You just kind of, you get some every year to help pay off your debt.
Very good, Nick. You're going to God's country, aren't you?
Yes, I am. And I hope I get some goose flesh because I want it to be cold.
Where are you headed to?
Colorado.
Where about?
Mm. Summit County.
Oh, the best part.
Yep.
Wonderful. All right, Nick. We'll see you.
See you guys. Carry on.
Very good. Mickey Spagnola heading to Summit County, Colorado. That's my favorite.
Anything else going out the ranch? Nothing?
You know where Summit County is?
No, I do not.
It's Breckenridge and Keystone area, Dillon, Colorado.
Rocky Mountain National Park.
Yeah, it's just about 10 miles west of the Eisenhower Tunnel there on I-70.
Don't know that either.
You don't? Well, okay. It's about an hour and a half to 2 hours west of Denver, due west of Denver on I-70.
That I know.
You know where that is? You ever been up there? I mean, yeah, I know you go to Denver all the time.
I mean, I probably have, but I haven't been there since I went to Denver. Maybe as a kid sometime.
You been to the Eisenhower Tunnel?
Not that I recall, no.
You'd know. It's a mile and a half tunnel through the middle of a mountain.
Is that the one with the big mouth over it that kind of looks like
or NORAD?
Eisenhower?
No.
The president?
Not, you're not driving into the clown's mouth or something, no.
That's not the one?
No. Oh,
okay.
It must be the other one.
I'm just confused there.
You'd know it if you went through it, because it's like a mile and a half long, and it goes through the middle of the mountain. But it saves you from having to drive over the Continental Divide.
Just fly over.
Well, when you're in a car, it's hard to do.
No, life was better when you had to drive over the Continental Divide.
With your trunk copter.
Why? Have you ever driven over the Continental Divide?
Many times. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's a beating.
Pansy-ass.
It is a
tunnel.
Beating to drive over that.
Whatever.
Coming up at 12:10, we will have Alan Bestwick from NBC. He is part of their... And NASCAR crew in the first race is going to be Saturday night, so we'll be talking to him at 12:10.
And if we don't, we're going to celebrate the promotion of Bill Weber.
At
the expense of Alan Bestwick.
That's right. But up next, we've got a fascinating tale of a guy from Dallas who is going to be spending 6 years in an English jail. He might be spending some time in a U.S. prison. We will tell you what.
Rock beats scissors. Scissors beats paper. Paper beats rock. Hello. This is Belvedere Vodka for The Beautiful Life. And today we're discussing that most beautiful game, rock, paper, scissors. A caveat. If you think this is a game of chance, you're a fool and will be beaten like scissors to rock. Hint. Know the enemy. If your enemy leads with rock, he prefers brute force to strategy. Destroy him with cunning tactic. If paper is his chosen lead, he is a sneaky ferret trying to turn aggressive play against you. His strategy will, however, change if faced with losing. The specter of imminent defeat turns even the subtlest player into a rock-wielding troglodyte. If he is a scissors man, he combines the heavy-handed force of rock with the finesse of paper. You will need to be at your best to vanquish him. Celebrate vanquishing him with a Belvedere, the only vodka worthy of rock, paper, scissors, and the beautiful life.
Indulge moderately in Belvedere vodka, 40% alcohol by volume, distilled from rye, Millennium in Port Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Hello. This is Belvedere Vodka and The Beautiful Life. Today we're discussing how to survive a shark attack. At first blush, this subject has seemingly nothing to do with The Beautiful Life, but one never knows when one may be swimming off one's yacht in shark-infested waters. 1. Hit back. If a shark attacks, hit it with anything. A martini glass, a bottle of Belvedere, a swimming companion, anything. Hit the offending shark in the eyes or gills. Contrary to popular belief, hitting the shark in the nose will only piss him off. And research tells us it is not a good idea to piss off a shark. 2. Keep hitting. Sharks enjoy being on the offensive. That's why they're sharks. So it's best to put the shark on the defensive by hitting him as often as possible. Now pour yourself a Belvedere. You have survived a shark attack and may continue living the beautiful life. Research tells us one is less likely to live the beautiful life if one has been eaten by a shark.
Indulge moderately in Belvedere vodka, 40% alcohol by volume, distilled from rye, Millennium in Port Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Isn't technology great? I love listening online when it's convenient for me. Hi, this is Dane Miner, General Manager of Freeman Toyota. Are you aware that you can buy a car with the same ease and convenience that you're enjoying right now while listening online? Log on to FreemanToyota.com and you can get a price quote from one of our managers. You can appraise your trade, get a payment quote, discuss different options for financing. All of this information is readily available for you, and Freeman Toyota is happy to provide it for you without you even stepping foot on our lot. A couple of incentives running right now. You can lease a Camry for $249 a month for 36 months. Or how about a 41-mile-per-gallon Corolla for $199 a month for the same 36 months. Both of these offers are with zero out-of-pocket. Freeman Toyota will deliver your vehicle and paperwork to your home or office to try to save you time and money. We've sold over 1,000 customers year-to-date right over the web. Our customers are telling us that their purchase was the easiest, most pleasant car buying experience ever. Come and see why at FreemanToyota.com.
On all American AMF pool.
Hi, this is Dane Miner, General Manager of Freeman Toyota. If you're in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle, here's a couple of things you should strongly consider. Toyota is one of the most reliable and affordable vehicles on the road today. And the Freeman family is one of the most trusted and respected names in the automobile business. When you combine the two, you have a combination that is guaranteed to work for you. With Freeman Toyota's intense focus on customer satisfaction and Toyota's great value, you can't go wrong in your automobile buying decision. For example, lease a double cab Tundra for just $269 a month for 36 months. Or our best-selling SUV, the 4Runner, for $349 a month for 36 months. And these offers are with zero out-of-pocket. Come and visit us today and see what our current customers already know. Freeman Toyota is committed to making you number one. We are located at 183 and 820 on the affordable side of the Metroplex, or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 1-800-NEW-CARS or log on to FreemanToyota.com. Freeman Toyota, where character and reputation make the difference.
you want for less at Blockbuster. With three previously viewed DVDs for $25, you know you're getting a great deal. Plus, there are so many titles for you to choose from, it's even easier to build up your collection. Now, at Blockbuster, all of the hottest movies can be yours for one low price. So what are you waiting for? Come to Blockbuster and get your choice of hit movies. Any three are just $25. This weekend, buy the hottest movies at the hottest prices at Blockbuster. Offer valid on select titles. Available at participating stores for a limited time while supplies last. Title selection may vary. Sold separately for prices. Mark see stores for complete details.
Ticket Sports News Now.
Kenny Rogers will supposedly learn his fame today over his attack of Fox 4 cameraman Larry Rodriguez. Ticker brought to you by Dickie's Barbecue and Cash America. Tom Hicks knows that Bud Selig isn't going to send wine and roses to Rogers' home.
Commissioner treats it very seriously. I think he was pretty upset about it. I think he knows it's not good for baseball. Baseball depends on its relationship with the media. Its media depends on baseball. It's a very good relationship.
Rangers in Seattle for a three-game set this weekend. Sean Ho, C.J. Wilson, and a to-be-determined are the starters. The women's final at Wimbledon set. Lindsay Davenport will meet Venus Williams in an All-American final. Roger Federer will play the winner of the Andy Roddick Thomas Johansson match, which has been suspended by rain in the first set. Sports Radio 1310, the ticket weather. Thunderstorm warning for Parker County till 12:15 this afternoon. That's the Ticket Ticker, a service of Comp USA. Start your weekend off right with fantastic deals on the latest technology today from 6 p.m. to midnight. It's Midnight Madness. The Midnight Madness, that is, at Comp USA. Next Ticket Ticker, 12:10, breaking sports news first, guaranteed. Jimmy Christopher reminding you to remember the time he's been listening to the Throwdown. They're in for Norm Hitzkus, middays 10 to 1 on Sports Radio 1310, the Ticket.
Radio 1310, the Ticket, a radio station that's like a government bond. It takes us a long time to mature.
11:51, this is Sports Radio 1310, the Ticket. It's the Throwdown. Kevin Scott, Rich Phillips. In for Norm, we're just about into bad radio territory. Ben Skin will be taking it the majority of the way in bad radio territory. They're at Dallas Camp Academy today. They'll be coming up at 1 o'clock, although Skin will be joining us at 12:30 as we go over an albums list put out by Skin Magazine. But we need to get to this. This is a fascinating story. This story brought to you by Sewell Family of Dealerships.
Mm-hmm.
It's the tale of Douglas Cade Havard.
Havard.
I don't even know if I'm saying the guy's name right. We may be corrected on that. It might be Havard, but I'm going to go with Havard. And I've been reading about this guy in the Dallas Morning News for a few years now, at least since 2002, when his story first broke, or I first read about it, because he was arrested in 2002, the second time that he'd been arrested, by the way, and he ran. He posted bail, and he hauled ass, and nobody knew where he was, and rumors were flying that he had gone to Brazil, that he went to a Caribbean island, that he had gone to Asia. Nobody knew where he was. And his story is just fascinating. And there's a couple of places we could start. I'd like to start with what this guy did in high school. Now, he was born in 1982, in September of 1982, so he is 24 years old. Excuse me, not 24 years old, 22 years old at this point. He'll be 23 later on this year. So he is a young man.
And he could never see the light of day again.
Oh, there's a good chance that he will never see the light of day again. And a little bit of background on him, he went to the Winston School. And the Winston School is a private school, but it's not like Cistercian or what's the other boys' school?
Greenhill?
Greenhill's another one. There's another one that I can't think of, and it might be the most well-known, and I cannot think of it. It's like the Brothers
Bishop,
School of the Earth.
Bishop Lynch?
That's one of them. There's another one. Anyway,
St. Mark's Jesuit?
Jesuit, thank
Come on,
you.
I'm gonna love
I
it.
Know, I'm sorry, Groobs. I apologize.
How could you slight
Kevin?
His alma mater. Sing that alma mater for us, Groobs.
Go ahead. My mic doesn't work now.
Okay. Because you can turn it on to Telstat.
Right.
So he went to the Winston School.
Did you sing the fight song, Groobs?
Does your mic still not work?
Still doesn't work.
Okay.
It's a private school, and it's different in that, as it's described here. And by the way, I'm getting all this information from a Dallas Observer story by Glenna Whitley, and this was written a few years ago.
And she did a great job. No, Glenna, not Glenda. She did a great job. Glenna, she did a great job putting this together. The Winston School, as it's said here, is an oasis for two kinds of kids, those with learning disabilities such as dyslexia and ADD, and troubled teenagers who have been kicked out of every other private school in Dallas, and she says he falls into the latter.
Okay, that's what I wasn't sure. They didn't detail him getting kicked out of other private schools, but I guess he had.
Once you hear what he did, you'll realize he probably had trouble in his past schools.
And this ain't cheap place either, right?
No. I mean, it's about $16,000 a year for tuition, including meals, by the way. And he looked as if he was not hurting for meals. Although in his senior year, he did slim down.
Captain of the football team?
Well, it's all relative, too, because, as you just said, there's troubled teenagers. And
student body president?
Student body president, captain of the football team.
Ludatorian.
National Honor Society.
Rumored 1,500 SAT score.
I mean, the guy was, he was thinking about going to an Ivy League school.
Mm-hmm.
The guy was super intelligent. But in high school, here's some of the things that he did to get into trouble. I mean, he was fixated on money. And the way the story's written, he pictured himself as a gangster, a modern-day thug. What he would do, one of the things that he would do is he would break into, or with the help of his friends, he would steal from their homes. He would steal watches, and he would steal jewelry.
And this would be different than if he was stealing a watch from my home, because he's stealing from rich people's homes.
He's not getting Timex or Casio. He's getting watches that are so high priced. No, I can't. It's like somebody said one of the night, like, Patek Philippe. I don't even know. We're talking way above Rolex. $30,000 watches.
Whoa! Who pays $30,000 for a watch?
People who live in these kinds of houses.
Oops, that's pretty nice, isn't it?
It's a very nice watch, Rich. We're trying to tell a story here. But his father was loaded. They lived in a very nice neighborhood. And his friends lived in very nice neighborhoods, too. So he would get into these homes, and with the help of some of his friends, he would steal these watches or other jewelry. He would go to his classmates at school and said, "Look, I'll pay you 15%. You get this. You get a fake ID or use a fake name. Take it to a jeweler. Get $5,000 for a $30,000 watch. I'll give you 15% off the top." And some of these kids that go to this school, they are on fixed incomes. Mm-hmm. They get scholarships to go here. So, I mean, if they're going to make $750, $800 for 15 minutes work, of course they're all over it. And of course he's pocketing all the cash. I mean, he would make, I don't even know how much a week, make thousands of dollars a week on this. So that was one scam that he ran. Another scam that he ran was it was called the barcode scam.
Okay, now I thought this one was genius.
I'm telling you, this guy was almost on a very lower level, and maybe even on a big level, a criminal mastermind.
So he bought the stuff necessary to print barcodes.
Scanners, high-dollar printers, and bought these stickers that were already pre-cut into the shape of a barcode. And he would go to a store like Target, and he would take a bar. He would go in, buy a $17 box of Legos is the example they use. Take it home, print out the exact barcode,
mm-hmm.
Take the little sticker back to the store, go to a $200 box of Mindstorm Legos, slap that sticker on it, take it to the front, and pay $17 for a $200 box of Legos.
And then he'd return it without the fake barcode.
And get $180 in store credit. Build up all
Well, you get $200 in store credit. Well, he'd already paid $17, so he cleared $180.
Yeah, he cleared $180. So he would do that. He would do it. He would get other people to do it, and he would get all the store credit. Then he'd go in, he'd buy TVs, DVD players, high-dollar items, and then he'd go pawn them, he'd sell them to his friends, he'd give them away.
And the thing that I thought was so genius about it was he found out Target would look into things after you had had six returns. When your sixth return is on,
a total of five times, then use a fake driver's license and do it five times in another name.
And then get friends to do it for him, too.
Yeah.
And taking money from them off the top of that.
According to one of his classmates who remained anonymous, he said he was bringing in $10,000 to $15,000 a day.
Mm.
A day. I mean, this guy was making money, and this is in high school. Were you thinking about making $10,000 to $15,000 a day in high school?
$10,000 to $15,000 a day, period. No zeros afterwards would have been good, man. Just to put gas in the old Plymouth Sapporo, man.
Yeah, I mean, he was making money hand over fist.
This is Douglas Cade Havard, by the way.
The guy
talking
who
about.
Got caught in England as part of an identity theft ring, and we're talking about what he did in high school. The guy goes on to say that he almost got caught one time because he tried to steal $170,000 in jewelry and other goods from a buddy's $3 million home while the parents were out of town. They took in a collectible watch to the dealer. The dealer recognized the watch, notified the parents. The matter was settled privately, and neither of the boys faced any charges. His parents had to know about it. It just sounds like his parents pretty much turned the other way because, according to this guy, this dude was on the phone coming up with schemes all the time. Here's another scam they pulled at North Park when he worked there. He worked at a retail shop. They had credit card scams going for one thing. And another thing they would do is, him and his buddy, they would drive around the parking lot, write down the driver's license, license plate tags of cars with these good grills. He would go home, look up their address, go to their house at night, steal their grill, and go and sell it on eBay.
Jeez, man.
I mean, this guy, everything was about making money, man. It was all about scams. He was worth several hundred thousand dollars by the time he was a junior in high school, according to this anonymous classmate's estimation. And that was when he was in high school.
Mm.
At some point when he was in high school, this is our second part of the story, he met a guy, an African-American named Jeremiah Simmons. A buddy introduced him to Simmons. Simmons was known as a...